ശ്രീമഹാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശ്രീമാൻ അഭയശർമാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമഹശീല പ്രഭുപാദ ജയം നിത്യനാമ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാശീല പ്രഭുപാദ അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദകി രാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീഹരദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് സ്വയം സ്വഭാവ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീദ്വൈതഗദാധാര ശിവാസ്വാദികളുടെ ഭക്തവൃന്ദകി ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ടകി ഗോവർദ്ധാനി വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാം കി മായപ്പൂർ ധാം കി മധുരപുരി ധാം കി ചരണാപുരി ധാം കി ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാം കി ഭഗവാനിക്ക് കേരളമായിക്ക് തുളസി ദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദകി ായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേശങ്ങളെ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണി വിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യണി
ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ
ഓം
നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്തസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയ ചക്ഷുർമുദീനാമ്യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം ഗുരുപദാമയം തദാദിസ്വദാംബികം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീപാദപദ്മജം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സർവജാഗുണാധാന്വിതം തം സജീവം സദ്വൈതം സാവദ്ഭുതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാമകൃഷ്ണപദം സഹഗണലിതം ശ്രീവിശാഖന്വിതം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിമേതി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണി വിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി നാമിനി ശ്രീ വർഷപാദവി ദേവി ദൈവായ പ്രഭാവത്തെ കൃഷ്ണസംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ദായിനേ പ്രഭവേ നമ മാധുര്യോജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗമത്തിത ശ്രീ ഗൗരകരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീമൂതയേ ദീനദാരിണി രൂപാനുഗ വിരുദ്ധാവ സിദ്ധാന്തധ്വന്ദഹാരിണി നമോ ഗവ്യകിഷോരായ സാക്ഷാത് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയെ വിപ്ലംബര സാംഭവതേ പദാംബുജായതേ നമോദയ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനി ദുരശക്തി സ്വരൂപായ രൂപനോദയായതേ ഗൗരാവിഭവഭൂമേശ്വം നിർദ്ദേഷ്ടാസ ജനപ്രിയ വൈഷ്ണവാ സർവഭൗമ ശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായതേ നമ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ കൃഷ്ണ പ്രേമ പ്രദായതേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യാമ്യേ ഗുരുവത്വശീ നമോ പ്രജലത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപ സ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശാസ്ത്രികം േ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാസിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ രോഗേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തു സുരതോ ഭർഗോ മമന്ദമദേർഗതി മനോഹരവുംഗൽപ്രുമാശ്രീമന്ദ്രാനരസിംഹാസനസ്ഥൗ ശ്രീമദ്ദാശീല ഗോവിന്ദദേവോ കൃഷ്ണ വിസേവ്യമാനോ സ്മരാമി ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു ആനന്ദ
ശ്രീയദ്വൈതജനാർദ്ദന ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ
ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം ആരാധനേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗൃഹീതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണി ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി അപദ്വാപ്രതിസന്തനാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീ നമോസ്തു തേ വ്യാസവിശാല ബുദ്ധേ കുല്ലായ വിദ്യായ വത്രനേ യത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരത തൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപം പുനർനവാരിജാനായ ത്വത്രവേത്രൈകപാണയെ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതഗുഹേ നമഃ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാപോത്സുഗീർഭോക്താദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേ വസുതം ദേവം കംസചാമൂലമർദനം ദേവീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണ വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും വിശ്വദ്രോണഘടാജയദ്രതജലാകാന്താരനീലോൽപ്പല ശയഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ ഹരീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സുതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പരമശരോജസരോജോമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥകോൽഗണം ആരാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാമോദിനം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനശൽപതൈരഹരഹേദീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാകാരദമന്ദജക്കരിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയലേകേം യദ്വാമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം േ ഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഹ്യതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തരാമസുരഗണൈവായ തസ്മൈ That's what we talked about. So, Krishna mentions there that when all karma is executed, atvabi se iman logan na handi na vibhadyade. If there is no presence of false ego, then that what will happen is that that karma won't stick to him. It will not stick to him. The karma will not create any after effect in the person. If there is yasya na ahankrito bhava, ahankaram is the cause of all the problems. So ahankuta bhavo buddhir yasyana lipyate. Such a person, hatvam is a iman lokan, whatever karmam he does in this world, nahandi nanibhadyate. He will not be, if even if he is in the battlefield, he hasn't killed anybody, nor he is bound by anything. No badham. Badham means bondage. That is what we were discussing. So you can see, Krishna is talking about this ahankari, isn't it? Ahankaram. Ahankaram is what jiva is. So jiva's existence is depending on this false ego, ahankaram. That is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see there, the whole of 10th canto, it has got two parts, first part and the second part. Purvartham, Uttaradham, it is called. In the Purvardham, is all about the manifestation of Ahankaram in the form of Rajoguna. Ahankaram is present in three different ways in all of us. One is in the form of Rajoguna. The other one in the form of bodily identification. And the third one in the form of Yashanatraya. Yashanatraya means that that my wife, my children, my home, all the other things in this world to which we are attached to. When we talk about men, it is like that. When we talk about women, also in the same way. So, number one, Ahankaram is present inside us in the form of Rajoguna. That is one problem. Secondly, we have got the bodily identification. Rajoguna is already there. Plus bodily identity. And thirdly, we have got this Yashanatrayam is a word used in the Bhagavatam. Yashanatrayam means that attachment to three things. That means to Vitteshana, Putreshana, Dharyeshana. That means Vitteshana means attachment to the wealth. Putreshana means attachment to the children and the family and the wife, Dharyeshana. And also Logeshana. Logeshana means name and fame in this world, recognition, things like that. These three things are interconnected. Ahankaram's three forms they are. Ahankaram is one. That is what this Ahankrita Bhava. Ahankrita Bhava means Ahankaram. Ahankaram has got these three different forms. Rajogunam, then Dehabhimanam, which is bodily concept of life, and Yashanatrayam. Attachment in all these different... This is where it is distributed. The Ahankaram is distributed in three different places. And you will notice in the Bhagavatam, the three personalities spoken there. Kamsa is the representation of that Rajoguna. Kamsa represents that Rajoguna. Jarasandha represents the bodily concept of life, bodily identification. And Shishupala and Dandavatra, they represent the Yashanatrayam. You can see from the words itself, if you look, you will see. They are all related to each other. Kamsa is related to Jarasandha. Because Jarasandha's children, daughters were married to Kamsa. And you can see the names also are a typical representation of those qualities. Asti and Prapti, they were the names of the Jarasandha's daughters who were married to Kamsa. Asti means Astito. From that word comes Asti. Asti means to accept something which is not real as real. World is not real. But asti makes us feel that understand or that idea in our head that everything is real here. Isn't it? That's where the asti comes from. Astito. Prapti means to achieve that. Something what is not real, working hard to achieve that. That's called prapti. Prapti to means to achievement. So asti and prapti, normally nobody has names like this. Asti and prapti and all that, nobody gets such names. But in Bhagavatam you will see so many names which actually represents that quality in us. What is causing the problem for us. Asti and prapti, they are daughters of Jarasandha who are married to Kamsa. And later on, these two attachments of Asti and Prapti, who are attached to, who are Jarasandha, Kamsa's wives, they go and complain to Jarasandha after the death of Kamsa. And then it's after that Jarasandha starts the war against Krishna. So, in Bhagavatam, everything that is spoken, there is a lot of tattvam behind it. When we understand, we read Bhagavatam later when we see that everything what is spoken in the Bhagavatam, behind that there is a spiritual message. If you understand the spiritual message, then you will release what is spoken as a story. We have just put it as a story in front of us. But to all it is meant for our own purification. For example, Shishubala and Dandavakra, the word itself is absolutely clear. Shishu means babies. Shishubala means one who is looking after the wife and children particularly. Family man, in other words. Shishubala. One who is doing the palanam of Shishu or looking after the babies and children, that's called Shishubala. Dandavakra means one whose mouth is always open. That means always talking about every rubbish in the world. Dandavakra. So vakra means mouth. Danda means one has got open teeth. Who can be spitting out all the time something. So like this in the Bhagavadam, these Handayam has taken these three forms. Rajovanam, one side. Then the bodily concept of life, which is Jarasandham. And then the Eshanatrayam, which is the attachment to the wife, children, world, fame and things, attachment to fame and things like that, Eshantrayam. So, all these three things are manifestation of this Ahangaram. And removal of them, one by one, is what is that 10th canto is doing to us. When you study 10th canto, you will be hearing more and more of 10th canto, will remove these impurities inside us. So, what we have talked about was that yasya nahankudo bhavo buddhar yasya na lipyade atvabhi sa iman lokan nahandi na nibadyade. So Krishna says here, even though he is doing so many things, he is not doing anything. This is the secret. Because if you have done some karma, that karma, what is causing that problem is that it creates impression inside us, isn't it? It creates an impression inside us. So, but if it is creating impression, whatever karma it is, that means the karma is not complete. It has created a vasana and it is gone, isn't it? So, so as long as there is this I am the doer in the karma, this impression of karma will remain inside us. So therefore, nahandi na nibadhyade, that if there is no ahangaram, for example, if there is no ahangaram in the karma, ahangaram means I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, and also ragadvesham. Ragam, dvesham, kartotam, bhototam, four things. Attachment and aversion, and I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. If both those four things are not there, then it can call it as na ahangrado bhavo. There is no ahangaram in that action, in that case. And in that such a situation, buddhir yasya na lipyade. Krishna saying, in that case, he will not get stuck to that karma. He is getting sweet without any, no after effect of that karma. And therefore, he is not doing anything. So, not doing anything is the secret. So, when Krishna is saying not doing anything means karma is happening, but it's not having any impression inside. So, if you have done some karma, and whatever results that is coming from the karma, that result that is coming from the karma does not have the same effect as if the karma has not stuck inside. Please understand that. That the after effect of a karma, that means karma creates an impression inside. If it has not created any impression inside, instead the karma has produced some results. But the results that has been produced from the karma, that has not have, whatever, however great it is, higher than that, that is, if the karma has not created any after effect inside. You see? Do you know, it's a very important principle. We have to see it from the Krishna's point of view. Krishna is saying to us, spiritually you make the progress. If the karma has not created any impression inside, instead it has produced some results, But no matter how great the result is, the power of that result is not as great as the if it has not created any impression inside. What do we do? We take the opposite thing. Is it not? We have done some karma. We want the credit for that and we want the recognition for that in this world. And that is not good. That's the point Krishna is making here. It's a very high principle it is in spiritual life. It is from this that very many great personalities, you can see, they have come to this world, they had to do what they had to do, and they have done and gone from here. Because they were always fixed on this understanding. Whatever may be the result from the karma, that is not what is evaluated. But normally people evaluate based on the results, isn't it? Normally we evaluate based on the results. That's not what we should look at. We should look at how the karma was executed. What after effect the karma had in the person who has done it. If he was affected by that karma, and the after effect of that karma has impacted upon him in any form, then you can say that it was not executed properly because it has created karma vasana in him, and due to that, he may have to accept another birth even to fulfill that karma vasana inside, to release that karma vasana inside. So, that is all what Krishna has spoken so far. And then we also discuss the next verse after that, where we just started. Jnanam, Jnayam, Parijnana. Three things, isn't it? Trivida karma chodana. Karanam karma karteri, trivida karma sangraha. That was another interesting verse there. What is Krishna saying here? Krishna is saying that what actually creates a karma in this world? Jnanam, Jnayam, Parijnana. Three things. Jnanam means, just to give you an example, it is here, I is Jnanam. Whatever has to be seen with the I is Jnayam. And the person who knows that, experiencing it, is Parijnana. That's what that is. Jnanam, Jnayam, Parijnana, Trivida, Karma Chodana, Krishna says. So, here, purpose of all this is, this 18 verses in this 18th chapter, the first 18 verses, is all about karma. You can see. Beginning of this 8, this last chapter is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, is it not? So, beginning itself is, first 18 verses is all about karma. It's all about karma. So, it says here, Jnanam, Jnayam, Parijnana, three vidha, three types, karma chodana. These three things are behind every karma. So, for example, you are hearing with the ears, and then the sound that ears are the jnanam, the sound that has been created is the jnayam, and the experience of that inside us is the parijnana. That is how it works. So, purpose behind all these things is that the purpose of the Vedam also is we are stuck in this thing called karma. To pull us out from this, that's what Vedam is talking about. You're caught up in this karmic cycle, like a whirlwind. It is, you're caught up in that. To get us out from that, that's what Krishna is saying here. That so, therefore, Varishad says that asangoyam, 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 no sangam, no sangam, no sangam. So, this jnanam, jnayam, parijnana, three things Krishna is talking about. In the Bhagavatam, you will see pramanam, prameyam, pramata, three things. So, but all these three things, jnanam, jnayam, parijnana, these three things, as Krishna has spoken here, which are behind the karma, they are in the upadhi. That's another important point. They are not in the Atma. They are in the Upadhi. Jnanam, Jnayam, Parijnana. Jnanam is the eyes or ear senses, whatever that is, engaged in the karma. Jnayam is the world where it is operating. And parikara is in the mind and the ego, where it is being experienced, isn't it? Ahankaram or in the mind, it is experienced. So, all these are symptoms of upadhi. Upadhi's presence, that is. In upadhi, these things are happening. It's not happening in the self. So, karmam is not happening in the self. Karmam is an external factor that is happening in relationship with the subtle body. With the subtle body and the senses and the gross body. This is where karmam is operating. It's not operating within the alma, in the self. So, that is the reason when we started in the second chapter, when Krishna started talking about karma yoga, he mentions that very explicitly there, that this karma is the cause of rebirth, is it not? It causes impressions, karma vasana inside, vasana builds up in the gross subtle body, and that creates, forces us to accept another body, to extinguish those vasanas. Those vasanas which were created by the karma turns into prarabdham. And to experience that, you have to accept another body. So this whole activity, which one? This subtle body, gross body, and ahankaram, and all the karma, its vasana, all these things together is causing the rebirth. But none of these things, or all these things are going on, Alma who is inside, Krishna who is inside, he has nothing to do with it. He is present there. In his presence, all these things are going on. These things are happening. That is what, in the second chapter, what Krishna spoke about that. That's why first he spoke about Alma's position. Remember that? From the, when Arjuna asked, he spoke everything from an absolute level. What is Alma? Avinashinitat vidhi, all those verses. That one who has no destruction, who has no birth, who has no death. So many things he has spoken. And then finally, then he moved on to the subtle body, karma. So you can see karma is an integral part of us. You can't separate it out. Because how karma operates there, implications are there for the senses, the mind, the ahankaram, the gross body, everything with karma. It works together, all that. So anybody who says, I have no karma, I'm not connected, influenced or connected with karma, it's very difficult to understand. Karma is there. Because it is this karma that is created as vasana inside, becomes prarabdham later. And that comes out. So that is why often you will find in the Bhagavatam also, sometimes you don't know why somebody had to go through some difficulties in life. Like Bharat Maharaj's case. Maharaj Bharat had to accept the deer's body. Isn't it? Why did that happen? The answer to that is prarabdham. Where did prarabdham come? There was some vasana inside. He himself says that. I must have had this vasana in me, which has prompted me to get attached to that baby deer. He could have picked up the baby deer from the water and fed some milk or some grass or whatever, and looked out for a couple of days and left it. He could have done that. That should have been the right thing to do. And left it in the forest, and if it was meant to survive, it would survive. But instead, what happened to him? He was a householder before, gave up all the attachment as a householder, came here and started a new family life with the deer. That's all. That's how it happens. This is the beauty of that. So you can see that prarabdham is like that. Because there was some vasana somewhere inside him which has not gone away. So although he has given up everything, home, family, kingdom, everything, and came to Gandaki River to practice austerities and penances, suddenly this vasana, when it got an opportunity and this deer came into his life, this baby deer, and he started thinking that his analysis is very interesting. Then he started thinking, this deer has fallen here right in front of me. There must be a reason behind it. So I must be meant to look after the deer. And he started, picked up the deer from the water. The mother died because of the fear of the lion. She jumped over the river. And in that process, because she was pregnant, she delivered the baby. And the baby fell into the water. Mother fell on the other side of the river and immediately died because of the fear and the pregnancy, everything. when the baby came through the water and Bhairava Maharaj saw that, who was chanting Gayatri? See how vasana is? Even if you chant Gayatri, Bhagavara Prarabdha will take over your life. That's how powerful it is. So you can see why it's all spoken like that, to tell us that karma is the most powerful force in the world. If you say anything in this world, after Krishna, who is most powerful in this world is karma. That is how strongly it's controlling our life. We may not accept it, that's another thing. But that's out of ignorance, isn't it? But when you accept Bhagavad Gita, you have to accept this principle that karma is working behind everything. So many things are coming to us in life, unexpectedly from unexpected quarters. You never thought about it, it's coming. Why? There must be some karmic connection between that person or between that people involved. That is why, and this is exactly what is bringing the family members together and what is separating the family members also. It is the same force called karma, nothing else. So that is one important point we have to remember here. That is why Krishna has taken effort so much to talk about this karma. Yayam yayam parijnyada trivida karma chodana karanam karma kartevi trivida loga sangraha trivida karma sangraha. Krishna says karma, Krishna is consolidating the whole thing again, and he says here that these three things, you can also, interesting thing is here. Also, interesting thing here is that Krishna says, karma chodanam. Karma chodanam means they are the factors behind the karma. And the very best proof of that is, this is not there in the Sushupti. You see, only in the vacant state and in the dream state, this effect of karma. In the deep sleep, he has also gone. Karma is also gone. Because of all these reasons only we say, Sushupti state is the closest one to the self-realized state. Because of this reason. But there is that karana shayiram still there. The karana shayiram means the causal body, where there is a deep cover of tamogunam inside. That's why you don't realize it. You can also notice another thing, that in the, say for example, just like here, these three things, what Krishna spoke of, which one? Jnanam, Jnayam, Parijnana. These three things don't exist in the Sushupti. They don't exist in the Sushupti. It's broken up into these three when we come to vacant state. In the Sushupti, all three of them go away. Another thing. In the vacant state, in the dream state, the mind and the pranam is there. Is it not? And mind and pranam is very closely connected. Pranam means our energy. Kriya Shakti. And this pranam and the mind are very closely connected. They are very closely connected. You can see that in life. Suppose somebody has created a lot of anxiety in you, suddenly your pranam will start moving very faster inside. Isn't it? Your, what do they call it? The
pulse
rate will increase. Suppose you are put into anxiety, suddenly pulse rate will increase, isn't it? So what does it show? It's showing to us that the mind, suppose mind is affected by some issues, some problems, immediately it has a direct effect on the pranam. And Upanishads also says that pranam is a subtle form of the mind, or mind is a subtle form of the pranam, they put it like this. You know, to explain to us that there is such a close link between mind and pranam. Mind and the pranam. Pranam again, you know, there are these five different kinds of pranam. Pranam, Apanam, Jnanam, Samanam, Udanam, like that. And then there are some Upapranams also. There are secondary pranams. It's there in the Yoga Shastra, you will see all these things. Now, what is interesting here is, this mind and the pranam are affected directly each other. They affect each other. But Krishna has created us in such a way, when we go into deep sleep state, neither the mind is there, nor the pranam is affected. Pranam is still there, mind disappears. But at the same time, pranam is operating within the body, because functions are still going on in the gross body. The pranam is operating, blood circulation, heartbeat, and digestion. All other activities, what's going on, which is due to the power of pranam, isn't it? Pranam causes these different activities in the body. So there, mind disappears and doesn't have any effect on the prana. So, in other words, this relationship between mind and prana is only in the waking state and the dream state. When it goes to deep sleep state, you see Krishna has broken them up, mind and prana. Mind goes its way and dissolves somewhere, avyakta. Prana carries on its activities. There, the relationship is broken. This is a very subtle point in the yoga. They talk about that. They have to take note of that. So, these three things, they are not present in the Alma. Because how do we know that it is not present in the Alma? We know that in the Sushumti stage. In Sushumti, we know that it's not there in the Alma. In Sushumti, I'm not there, and I'm not doing any work there, and there is nothing I know at that time. Jnanam, Em, Parijnana, nothing of them is present here. I remain as pure consciousness in that stage. Isn't it? But, Jnanabhinam says there that these from that Sushupti state, when you come back to the vacant state, what happens? Ahangaram comes first, isn't it? I am. Awareness of me. A separate entity, I, builds up inside. And with that, these three things come. Which one? Jnanam, Yayam, Parijnana. What Krishna has spoken about. So, that is how Krishna presents that. He is saying to us that as soon as you wake up from the deep sleep state, you immediately, the false ego wakes up. With the false ego, these three things, which one? Jnanam, Jnayam, Parijnana.
What is the translation for that?
Krishna says there. Jnanam is knowledge. Jnayam is the objective of knowledge, and Parijnana the knower. These three things wakes up when you come back from the deep sleep state. And at that time, Ahangaram first one. When Ahangaram comes, these three things must be there. When Ahangaram goes away, false ego goes away, these three things will also go away. These three things will also go away. So, when what Krishna is saying now is a new topic he is beginning, completely moving away from the karma. Krishna says here that when you wake up and your false ego comes out first, that identification of I am, personality or individuality, when that comes out, what all will happen with that, that is the next verse. You look at the next verse. Krishna has to say, when personality wake up, along with that, what all will come? Jnanam karma cha karta cha.
Jnanam karma cha karta cha.
Tudeiva guna bhedada.
Tudeiva guna bhedada.
Prochyade guna samkhyane.
Prochyade guna samkhyane.
Yadhavachunu tanyavi.
Yadhavachunu tanyavi.
Jnanam karma cha karta cha.
Jnanam karma cha karta cha.
Tudeiva guna bhedada.
Tudeiva guna bhedada.
Prochyade guna samkhyane.
Prochyade
So, these three things which comes out when you wake up, Jnanam, Yayam, Parijnana, those three things also, when you wake up, it is in contact with the modes of nature, three modes of material nature. So, because of that, those three things also get separated into three different state levels based on the modes of nature. That is, this verse is talking about. So, in end, Krishna has taken this from Sankhya. Kapila Maharshi Sankhya. Krishna has used here. This is in the Sankhya. This comes from the Sankhya. And Krishna is saying here, Krishna accepts the whole thing, what is spoken by Kapila Maharshi in Sankhya Shastram here, in the Bhagavad Gita. So, you can see Sankhya has come now. ज्ञानं कर्मच कर्तनच त्रिधैव गुणभेदता तोच्यति गुणसंख्याने यदावच्छनु तान्यपि यदावच्छनु तान्यपि. According to the three different modes of material nature, there are three kinds of knowledge, action and performer of action. Now hear of them from me. That's what he's saying here. So, when these three, Jnanam, Jnayam, Parijnata, three things what he spoke in the previous verse, 18th verse, when they start their work, that means when we wake up in the morning, when the Ahankaram starts operating, personality comes in, at that time all the three will be there. So, that is what Krishna is talking about here. So, a new topic altogether. This jnanam, karmam and karta, three things. That's what jnanam, jnayam, parijnata means. Jnanam, karmam, karta. All three of them, based on the three modes of material nature, they are spoken. Based on the three modes of nature. Because when we discuss the three modes of material nature, that is where they come into action. For example, Jnanam karma cha, karmam na karakam parivashikam, eepsidatamam, karma kartacha nivartaka, kriyanam tritha eva avadharanam, guna vidirita jat andara bhava pradarshanatam guna bhedada, sattvadi bhede ityartaha, prochade kathyade gunasam khyane kapile shastre. Now Kavira Maharshi Shastram, this has been spoken based on the three modes of material nature, these three things. Which one? Jnanam, karma, karma and karta. So, so Kapila Maharshi Sankhya Shastram talks about this. Talks about this. So, these three things, Jnanam, karma and karta, is always spoken with the three modes of nature. With the three modes of nature. Krishna is saying, first of all, out of the three, let's talk about jnanam, Krishna says. So far, we were discussing about karma. Is it not? Karma. That's what Krishna discussed. Now, Krishna is talking about that jnanam, karma and karta. Three things. Out of that jnanam, Krishna says, and that jnanam, under three modes of material nature, how it will be in a person. How it will be in a person. What is Sattvika Jnanam? Mode of goodness. What is Rajasa Jnanam? Mode of passion. And what is Tamasa Jnanam? Mode of ignorance. That is the next words Krishna is talking about. By understanding from the next few verses, you will realize why science cannot have mode of goodness. And why the knowledge from the science is not in the mode of goodness. If you understand that, and if you properly understood what Krishna is saying, there is no question of comparing Shastram with the science, number one. And trying to, Shastram doesn't require any support from the science. That's what we have to remember always. Shastram is coming from the absolute truth. And Krishna is saying to us, your knowledge is also contaminated with the modes. They are not above the modes. That is important principle. Science doesn't accept any modes of nature, is it? What modes of nature science accept? Science is concerned whether he is a man who is in the, he may be in the lower modes, but he may discover something in the science. And they will give him a Nobel Prize and everything. But you can't say that his knowledge is in the mode of goodness. And why science is not in the mode of goodness, that is the next verse talking about. Krishna is, of course, Krishna's time, the science problem wasn't there. But like the way it is today, the science has become the biggest problem now. Because everything people won't accept unless it's come from the scientist. And because people do not know about these three modes of nature, they will accept anything without understanding from the source where it's coming from. Whereas Krishna's point is that because the Sattvika Jnanam's nature, he says, the nature of the knowledge in mood of goodness is like this. That's what he's going to talk about. If a knowledge that has come, if that knowledge, if it's in the mood of goodness, this will be the nature of that knowledge. That's how Krishna puts it here. And when you start understanding that, you can see how disgusting it is to go and talk to the scientists about all these things. Absolutely waste of time. It is not, see the thing is, the problem with us is that we think everything is just talking and convincing. No, it's not. It's not, you can talk to people who are in that level of purity. Then they will understand. But a person who has no purity inside, who is completely condoned by Rajogunam and Tamogunam, talking to him any higher knowledge won't make any sense. It won't have any effect on that person. Because he doesn't have that Satugunam inside to understand that. To accept that. This is the difficulty. And we are struggling very hard with thinking that because we are not presented Bhagavad Gita to the scientists properly, therefore scientists are not accepting the Bhagavad Gita. No, it will not get in there because of the modes of nature present there. Let's understand that word. That's why the next few verses are important. If we are convinced, then there won't be any confusion after that. But if you're not convinced, then you'll keep on thinking that, oh, scientists I have to convince the politicians, I have to convince the businessmen, or I have to convince all the billionaires in this world. What's the necessity for that? Billionaires won't understand this. That is not the qualification for this. This is Satyajit Jnanam it is. This will only be understood in the mode of goodness, and because the very nature of the knowledge is like that. And that Satyajit Jnanam brings a different result in a person than Rajasat Jnanam and Tamasat Jnanam. Rajasat Jnanam creates disturbances in the world. It is Jnanam, but creates disturbances in the world. Tamasat Jnanam destroys the person completely. That is also Jnanam, Tamasat Jnanam. So, Rajogunam, Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam has a very, very strong influence on the knowledge also. Krishna mentions this in the Bhagavatam also to Uddhava. Uddhava, it is like this, Trigunyal Bhinnavedam. You see, Uddhava asks the question that to Krishna. He says to Krishna, Krishna, why is it that you have spoken the Vedam? And the same Vedam has been understood by the rishis. And these rishis have come up with a different conclusions. Why? Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, it's not their fault. It's my fault. He says, Krishna says, it's my problem it is, because normally all the rishis, generally, they are also in the mode of goodness. But even among them, there is disagreement. One rishi is saying, truth is the most important thing, being truthful. Somebody else is saying austerities are important. Someone else is saying charity is important. Somebody else is saying compassion is important. Buddha-daya. Why all this difference of opinion? If the same Vedam, they are accepting as authority. That is the most interesting thing. If we are all accepting one authority, then our conclusions must be the same. Is it not? But that is not happening. Why? This was Uddhava's doubt. So Uddhava asked this question in 19th chapter, if you remember, we discussed that before. Uddhava asked the question, why this variation in the conclusions of the rishis? Because Uddhava said, they are not ordinary people, they are all Brahmavadis who have understood Brahmam, what is the truth. It is those people who are asking this, who are coming up with this conclusion. If it's ordinary people, it doesn't matter. But people who have some standing in spiritual life, among them these differences have happened. Why did that happen? Uddhava asked that question. Krishna says to Uddhava, that actually only I understand Vedam. Nobody else understands Vedam. Vedic knowledge, nature is like that. If you have to really understand, it has to come from Krishna. Only Krishna understands Vedam. But according to their modes of nature, they would have picked up from the Vedam something, and they, according to their status, they will understand the things, wherever they are in spiritual life. And that is why these different commentaries have come. That is how Advaitam, Dvaitam, Vishishtadvaitam all has come, because of this. And something what was in Shankaracharya's conclusions did not completely come to Ramanujacharya's conclusions. He could not connect with that. Therefore, he, in his own way, he had come up with the answer of Ishta Dvaitam. Similarly, Dvaitam. Similarly, all other Shuddha Dvaitam, Kevara Dvaitam, Ajinya Vedavedam, all has come like this. Otherwise, and then afterwards all the discussions about this or that, and the people who are discussing, they are not also ready for it. They are the ones who are discussing and fighting and fighting each other about it. Well, that's all useless. Krishna's point is this, that, that's what is this next verse is important. This is the reason I am saying all these things. Then, so, next, let's look at the next verse, Krishna. And that is one of the most important verses as far as knowledge is concerned. Sarva bhuteshu yenekam
sarva bhuteshu yenekam
bhavam avyayam ikshate
bhavam avyayam ikshate
avibhaktam vibhakteshu
avibhaktam vibhakteshu
tanyanam vidhi sattvikam
tanyanam vidhi sattvikam
sarva bhuteshu yenekam
sarva bhuteshu yenekam
bhavam avyayam ikshate
bhavam avyayam ikshate
avibhaktam vibhakteshu
avibhaktam vibhakteshu
Tanyanam vidhi sattvikam.
Tanyanam vidhi sattvikam.
So, last in this verse, the three ways of jnanam Krishna is talking about here, and he says here that knowledge by which one undivided spiritual nature is seen in all living entities. Though they are divided into innumerable forms, you should understand to be in the mood of goodness. See? So, there is no contradiction on these things. For example, Krishna is saying here, that knowledge by which one undivided spiritual nature is seen in all living entities. Krishna himself saying that Atma is one. It cannot be many. It cannot be many. Although they are divided into innumerable forms. Division has happened due to body. Body broke it up. That's why we say that when you have a bodily identity, then you are Dvaiti. Naturally it is Dvaitam then. There is no Dvaitam there. There is Dvaitam. But that Dvaitam, when it is realized, at that time, it is not in the... you should understand that when you realize that undivided nature of the Atma, at that time, Krishna is saying here, though they are divided into the body, you should understand to be in the mode of goodness. To be in the mode of goodness. It's a big thing. So, they give the example like this, that Satogunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, three modes of material nature. Suppose you have a lamp burning somewhere, and you have covered that one part with the red paper, another one with the white paper, and another side with the yellow paper. Three papers you have covered that. And all the three kinds of paper, three colors of paper, they will cover it, isn't it? But when the light comes through that, it will come in a different way, it will come out, isn't it? So, here, Krishna says here, that this is important. The if you say Atma, like we keep talking about this Atma, 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 he said, what is this Atma? That's the first question. Atma, if you want to say about Atma, there are few different ways in the Bhagavatam spoken. But the most appropriate way of talking about Atma is knowledge. Knowledge is Atma. That is why in the Bhagavatam, you remember? Vadandihi tattvavidam tattvam yajnanam. Jnanam. Knowledge is Atma's nature. You can't take knowledge out of Atma. Atma cannot be separated from knowledge. If there is Atma, there is knowledge. That's what it means. If there is Atma, there is knowledge. You can't say Atma is ignorant. Atma cannot be ignorant. Atma is always with knowledge. One was about Ahangaram. Ahangaram can be ignorant. Ahangaram is ignorance. Ignorance manifested is Ahankaram inside. But Atma is always with the knowledge. So normally what we think is, if we don't have senses, we cannot have knowledge. That's what we think, is it not? We think like that. If we have no senses, we can't have knowledge. Or we say, if you don't have the mind or intelligence, you can't have the knowledge. Actually, mind and senses, they are not creating knowledge. What they are doing is, they are breaking the knowledge. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is how you will understand these words. Otherwise you won't understand these words. We have some misconception in our head that I go to school and college and I'm busy with my mind and senses. Is it not? I acquire the knowledge. I come back and I have increased my dosage of avidya. That's what I've done. And as much as I am busy with mind and the senses, what I'm doing is constantly I'm loading me with avidya. Loading me with avidya. Because this one important principle, in reality, mind and senses cannot give you knowledge. What it does is, your pure knowledge inside of Atma, what is pure consciousness, undivided, it breaks that. That knowledge is broken by the mind and the senses. They break it. Mind and, if you keep on advancing in material knowledge, it keeps on breaking it, breaking it, breaking it. More and more of this breaking is going on. So, breaking into pieces is a business of the mind and the senses. Mind and the senses. So, what we are thinking is, so, suppose there is no different names and different forms, and similarly these five different senses of knowledge and different senses of action. If we don't have that, how can I have knowledge? This is what normally we think, isn't it? And similarly, all these five senses of knowledge, they are present inside the mind. They are present inside the mind. So, and the mind you can see, without the help of these senses it's themselves, that it is able to enjoy it. It's able to enjoy it. For example, suppose I'm not having, say if I like sweet rice, I'm not having sweet rice now, but my mind is capable of enjoying that sweet rice, thinking about it. Oh, that sweet rice which I went for the feast or the particular somebody's marriage, the sweet rice was so good. I still think about it and mind brings me the thoughts back into me. So what does it show? It shows to us that without the, in the absence of the senses, the mind can still give you a experience of that within. So, so leaving the senses behind, the nature of the senses itself is that it goes into the mind, and in the dream state, in the absence of the senses, the mind is enjoying on its own. Enjoying or suffering, whichever way it is. Isn't it? So, mind is capable of doing that. Mind is capable of doing that. So, these mind and the senses, practically, what they are doing is, in your awakened state, this is one important thing, that as soon as you come to awakened state, you remember that you are in avidya. Total avidya that is. That's the way it is. Somehow or the other, due to this influence of scientific avidya, we have all become completely captivated by that and thinking that, oh, what a fantastic state of awareness this is, this vacant state, where avidya is predominating in everything what we do, what we think and what we experience, isn't it? And mind and senses, what it has done is, that experience you had in the sushupti of oneness, where you never had any broken knowledge. Your knowledge was oneness there. Is it not? In sushupti, like in sushupti, I don't feel any difference between two people. They are all there in sushupti one. All of us who are in this room, not in the room, the whole world, the creation itself, in sushupti state, they don't exist separately. That vibhakti, that breaking of business is gone in sushupti. But as soon as you come to vacant state, what happens? Everything broken up. And the more we have identified with the body, then the more we have broken up. Is it not? that you have broken up in the name of the country you were born, in the name of religion you were born, in the name of language you are speaking you are born, then you are broken up into male and female, and then you are broken up into male of the color of the skin. So many ways you have broken up everything of that one undivided knowledge which was in the deep sleep state. That's what is manifested in this form. So you can see from that, as soon as Namarupa, name and form comes, as soon as the sense, they come when the senses and the mind acts. So when the senses and mind are not acting, Namarupa won't appear. That is why we say realized souls don't have a mind to act. They are always acting on the spiritual Atma state. Atma is knowledge. When that state, there is no differences between one living entity and another living entity. Here we have not only differences in one species, then we have other 8.39 million species here. And there also classifications, isn't it? Even if you look at the dogs, dogs have also got, based on nationality, you can classify them in this world. American dog is different than the European dogs, or European dogs are the Indian street dogs. Where will this end? Where will this end, this bifurcation? Where is it going to end? Similarly, every species if you take, you can see this bifurcation going on all the time. Krishna says this is not knowledge, this is ignorance. Krishna's point is, when this bifurcation stops, if the bifurcation has started, you are already in avidya. It's what it means. That is what that verse is important. It is pointing out to us, unless you see that one thing, what is present in everything, which is one, if you see that, if you are in that state, then your knowledge is in the mood of goodness. What does science do? Exactly opposite, is it not? It is amazing sometimes the way the science goes on with their development work. It is frightening where it's going to end up, because it keeps a lot of people on the job, and it keeps every time something new will develop, a new department opens. I see in particularly in the medicine industry, this is developing like this. Every few years a new department opens. They say, oh, this is the one now, the most demanding one. They advanced more. So this one body, they have broken up already into part by part, isn't it? Specialist for eye, specialist for throat, specialist for this, specialist for that. They are not even able to realize that this is one unit. And so therefore this specialist says, it's nothing to do with your eyes, you go to the other man. And he will refer to somebody else. And then, so therefore, specialist for every job, specialist people for every activity. Like this is, in the past, there were no specialists. So we say, oh, they were not developed. Now we are more developed. We have got more specialists. In the past, one doctor will look at you, one physician, Ayurvedic physician, will look at you and he will treat you. And he sees your body as one unit, not separate parts. They look at us as though some parts put together like in a car. This is how the modern medicine is. Parts have been put together, and the specialist says, I'm a specialist for this part, I don't know what's going on in other part. So he leaves you there. So like this, this is mode of ignorance. This is not considered to be the mode of knowledge. That's what Krishna is saying here, that that this mind, when it goes into the deep sleep state, it not only goes into deep sleep state, along with that, it pulls all these separate powers what it has got. Which one? Ability to see, ability to hear, ability to touch, ability to taste, and all other things the mind pulls together and gets dissolved there in the mind at that time. So, one person is looking through the window to the sky, and he says here that if you want to look at the sky, you have to look through this window, he says to you. Similarly, we are also saying the same thing, that only through the senses I can have the knowledge. This is our greatest difficulty. We have picked this up somehow or the other, it has been hammered into us. Only through the senses I can have the knowledge. Otherwise, how can I have the knowledge? It's exactly like this. The sky is present everywhere. So I'm saying, open the window and look through that, and then you can see the sky there. Similarly, I'm saying that use all your senses, and through that you acquire the knowledge. And that is what Krishna is saying here. You are asking that question, how can I have knowledge without these senses? This is the problem. Scientists are telling us that without the senses and research, experiments, or through acquiring knowledge through speculation or pratyaksham, anumanam, these are the processes by which pratyaksham means direct perception. Anumanam means through inference. All these different processes which science is using, all that knowledge is what they consider as knowledge. Pratyakshena, Anumityeva, the two processes they are talking about. Yastu upayo na vidyate. Rigvedam says, if you exclude these two systems of acquiring knowledge, that means direct perception and through inference, if you exclude them, that knowledge which can be obtained as tasmal vedasya vedana. Vedam is giving that knowledge which doesn't require either the senses or the inference knowledge. Direct perception, pratyaksham or anumanam. Yastu upayo na vidyate. Evam vadanti vedena tasmal vedasya vedana. Vedam's Amnayamathanam book, if you read, you will see there. Before going into Vedam, understand where Vedam is coming from. Vedam will not talk to you about this. No knowledge is spoken about what is experienced through the senses and the mind. You see? So, Vedam has taken from a very higher position in its talking to us. It's telling us your so-called mind and senses are all useless. Through which, don't try to research and find the truth through that way. So therefore, any knowledge that has come through the mind and the senses, Vedam rejects straight away. You see? Because the reason is this, that knowledge is come through the mind and the senses. Mind and senses are active only in the waking state and the dream state. As soon as you go into deep sleep, both mind is gone, senses are gone. But this knowledge is not gone. Knowledge of the self. Atma's nature is knowledge. That's what you have to remember. Atma's nature is knowledge, and that Atma is present there in the deep sleep state. And that presence of that Atma in the deep sleep state, without the presence of the mind and the senses, is what you are experiencing in the deep sleep state as happiness. You see? That happiness is not the happiness of the senses, or the happiness of the mind. In the absence of the mind and the senses, in the deep sleep state, that happiness what you are experiencing is that happiness of the knowledge of the self. Knowledge of the self. That is why Krishna is saying here also that avariluptam. Avariluptam means that thing which is unbroken, that knowledge, which is present in the deep sleep state, that is called akhandam. Akhandam, another word. Akhandam means no khandanam. Khandanam means broken. In the awareness, in the vacant state, it's all broken, is it not? It's broken. It's very clear to us. Everything is broken here. I have some information about some particular material object, anything, but my information is not complete. It's half baked or little bit I know about this. We always say like that. I know a little bit about this. I know a little bit about that. But this little bit business is because of this broken way of... You see, this... Why do we call it knowledge? Knowledge is the one. These are terminologies used in the Shastram. It is by which you are experiencing it. Is it not? For example, I'm looking at this book. And when I look at this book, I see the color. I see the number of pages. I see what is written inside. All this is experienced in me, inside me. I'm getting that. And that is the power of knowledge. Power of knowledge. So knowledge helps me to understand things and the ability to acquire an experience of that. If I had no knowledge, I can't experience this book. Similarly, what Krishna is saying to us is that knowledge in the Sattvagunam, the very nature of knowledge in the Sattvagunam is, it will not break up your knowledge. It will bring it together. Whereas knowledge in the mode of Rajagunam will completely break it into and smash it into as many pieces as possible. So therefore, this verse, Krishna is saying here. Now, Gaudapada Acharya, he has written his famous commentary. Gaudapada Kaliga, it is called, or Mandukya Upanishad, famous commentary of his, where he mentions there, knowledge is like the sky. Knowledge is like the sky. Because everything is unlimited with knowledge. Proper knowledge. Unlimited. Person who is who has that knowledge or who is experiencing that, he is unlimited. The vastu, what he is knowing, is unlimited. And the knowledge itself is unlimited. All the three things. Jnanam, Jnayam, Parijnana. All the three things becomes unlimited when it is when Gaudapada mentions there that when the knowledge becomes unbroken, that is the knowledge of, that is the nature of the knowledge in the mode of goodness. Knowledge in the mode of goodness. In other words, any object is not object anymore. For example, if you ask me, I have to say this is microphone. Is it not? But this is not microphone as far as Shastram is concerned. We have made up this microphone with our knowledge of the different technology, whatever that is behind it. We have created this form and shape and uses it for certain purposes. But that does not mean that this is the real nature of its real form of this microphone. Its reality is, when you are able to understand that it is the same Atma that is present here, but in a much dormant form. Consciousness changes from one form to another, isn't it? When the consciousness is very much hidden, it takes into the lower levels, into the lower levels. So, so there, Gaudapada Acharya mentions there, that all the three things becomes, that is, jnanam, jnayam, parijnana, those three things becomes unbroken, and with the result of that is, it's unlimited then. It is unlimited. And that is why the knowledge is spoken as like the sky. Sky has no limit, isn't it? Where will you say the limit of the sky? There's no limit to the sky. So in the similar way, the person who experiences that knowledge, he becomes unlimited. Tam sarvabhudahdayam nivanaposmi. That will happen to him. Similarly, the vastu he is experiencing is also unlimited. What is that vastu? Consciousness, pure consciousness. Like Shubramashi experiences that, Parikshit is also experiencing the same thing, Jarabharata is also experiencing the same thing, the Tatra is also experiencing the same thing. Not only that, this awareness or the knowledge, what is knowledge, is the very nature of Atma. That knowledge itself is unlimited. Unlimited. So at that time, an object is not an object anymore, and a person is not a person anymore. Person is not a person anymore. And all the limitations on the knowledge has gone away. So if you take away the limitations, you will understand that this thing called mind also, what is inside us, is nothing but something that has come from Atma. Up to that point, you will think about this mind very seriously, thinking that I have my own mind, and always you are thinking in terms of the mind. Most of the times you are working with the mind, identification with the mind. All these things will disappear. Therefore, mind is nothing but a force that has come from Atma and which imposes, which is a power that imposes limitation on Atma. Atma is unlimited. Atma's very nature of Atma is unlimited. Present in everyone. is in everyone. But why are we not experiencing that? Because of the mind. Mind is the one that's causing all the problem. That is why in Bhagavad Gita throughout, Krishna is telling us, mind, mind, mind. Isn't it? We start wondering, why is Krishna so much against the mind? This is the reason. That in our pure knowledge, pure consciousness, we will not lose that oneness. We won't lose it. Because there's only one thing, Atma here, consciousness, knowledge, in other words, awareness, Bodham, it is called. Sandram, Anandam, Avabodham. These are the three nature of the soul. Sandra, Ananda, Avabodham. So, but that Avabodham, pure consciousness, pure knowledge, it gets broken. And when it gets broken, we get affected by that. Why it's broken? Because of the presence of the mind. In each one of us, the mind breaks up everything. And then we fight each other for anything and everything, the fight begins. So, because of this broken state. So, important thing is that once this limitation has gone away, mind is a force that has woken up from the Atma and it limits everything. Limits everything. That capacity the mind has got to limit everything. And that limitation, the name of that is called mind. That power that has come from the soul, which has succeeded in breaking up everything and limiting everything in the form of name and form, namarupam, namamrupam, name and form. And in different ways, it has limited everybody, everything in this world, and broke it up into pieces. That power is called the mind. And we ask the question, oh, if I lose my mind, how will I live in this world? That's avidya. Is it not? Sometimes we say this, oh, people say that you've got a mental problem, you say. We say to people, isn't it, he's got a mental problem. Then we take him to hospital, get him treated, everything, to get it right. To get that thing called mind right. But the mind itself is the problem. And therefore he's saying here that once you get it off this mind from inside, then it goes back to its pure state of knowledge. Pure state of knowledge. So, as long as the mind is there, this namam rupam, name and form, will be there, and sense objects also will be there, and you can only know it. You can only know them, nothing else. As long as the mind is there. As long as the mind is there, it is not possible to get rid of namarupam, name and form, and the sense objects. They will always be present there. And once you've got the mind out from inside, then our knowledge inside will not be like the way the mind is projecting anymore. It will be like the sky. Like the sky. That is what Krishna is saying here. The knowledge becomes unbroken. Unbroken. Avibhaktam. Avibhaktam. So, Krishna says here, when your knowledge is flooded with satogunam, in the mode of goodness, when it becomes very pure, that knowledge, at the moment, sarva bhudeshu, if you look there, you will see, Krishna says here, that sarva bhudeshu yenegam bhavam avyayam ikshate avibhaktam vibhakteshu talpyanam vidhi sattvikam. I don't think you can't explain more than that, because see, everything very specific and very clear, direct. Avibhaktam vibhakteshu. Where is vibhakti now? Vibhakti is namarupam. All what we are seeing is vibhakteshu. In this vibhakti, vibhakti means broken state. Avibhaktam vibhakteshu. And in that broken state, I have to see the one thing. Avibhaktam. So, the nature of this sattvic knowledge is, knowledge in goodness is, avibhaktam vibhakteshu. I am always conscious that there is not many, there is only one. But these are Krishna's different manifestations. Krishna is that knowledge, that is Shastram telling us. That knowledge inside is Krishna. We call it by different, devotee call it as Krishna. Jnani will call it as Alpam or Brahmam. Different ways, yogis will call it as Brahman. By different way addresses them. Vastu is one. That is what it is said like that. Vadam dhidat tattu idam tattam yajnana madhu yin brahme yedi paramahat meri bhagavan yedi shamjane. Shabdyade Brahmaji, Brahmaji, Paramatmaji, Bhavaji. But Vastu is Yal Jnanam, Advaya Jnanam, Advaya Jnanam. So, when that becomes pure, when that Advaya Jnanam is in the pure state, pure consciousness, that when you are pure, at that time, what will happen? So, you will not see that, at the moment I am seeing that Advaya Jnanam different in everybody. Is it not? But, that, therefore, there are so many different names and forms in this world. That is Krishna's greatness. Krishna is able to create like this, all of us in this different bodies and different shapes and different variations. That he has succeeded in doing that and put us into this complicated situation. So everything different in Krishna's creation. That's the interesting thing. Everything different, isn't it? Two people are not being even created similar way. So, but although they are all different, Krishna is again telling us they are all one. This is the Lila Shakti. Krishna's Lila Shakti this is. Lila Shakti means able to do like this. They are able to create so many species and in each species so many living entities. Even if you accept the Shastram, you know 8.4 million we say. But really we start making the database. 48.4 million. And in that, how many forms in the water, how many forms in the birds, how many birds in the water. So all these varieties Krishna has created. And after creating, Krishna is saying to us that none of them are look alike. Or in activities they are not alike. Or in their awareness they are not alike. All are in a different ways they have been created. 8.4 million, isn't it? But Krishna is saying after doing all these things, he is saying to us, no, there is only one Vastu. I have created like this, but Vastu is only one. Isn't it? So, same Chaitanyam. Chaitanyam means the living force, Alma, consciousness. It is that consciousness is coming out in these different bodies. It wakes up and it stays in that body for a particular period of time and eventually it disappears from that body. At the same time. And that is why Krishna's creation is very, very unique. Is it not? It's very, very unique. One is not similar to the other. So many children are born, but you look at them, in the, go to the hospital, look at them, no two kids are, babies are same. They look different. Is it not? See Krishna's power of creation. You make sure, otherwise what will happen? Oh, all of them look the same. Then you can't have hospital, could you? So, normally there is a stamp them and say oh, some father's mother's name or something is put on the babies. Then some is tagged, first day itself, tagged stuff. So, you can see that and then if you exchange or if by mistake anything happens, it's a big case, isn't it? In the hospital, when that happens. So, but Krishna made sure that no two will look alike. So once you see the child whom you are connected with, you will know that that's my child, you will maybe recognize that, isn't it? So, and therefore, so that is why it's called original creation. That is, Krishna's creation is original creation. Our creation is, after a while it will become repeat. We are into repeat business. Everything we want to make it identical, as much as possible, is it not? There is a big difference between Krishna's creation and our creation. We will try to develop some machine whereby we can churn out hundreds and thousands of them through that machine. So that because we like it to be identical in the same way. So Krishna's case, everything is original. Our case, everything is repetitive. So here, Vibhakteshu, Krishna is saying here, Avibhaktam Vibhakteshu. Although he is broken up, it's not broken, Krishna is saying. So that is spiritual life. Spiritual life is finding out that avibhaktam vibhakteshu. Avibhaktam vibhakteshu. And he is saying in the beginning of that verse, sarvabhodeshu yeneikam bhavam avyayam ikshade. Sarvabhodeshu yeneikam bhavam avyayam ikshade. Sarvabhodeshu, in all living entities, that bhavam, which is avyayam yeneikam bhavam. Ekam bhavam. That oneness in all living entities. In all living entities, that oneness. This is, in here it is spoken like this. What is we say devotee? The best devotee is who? Sarvabhudeshu yapashi bhagavat bhavamantraya. In the devotee language when you say it like this. Sarvabhudeshu yapashi bhagavat bhavamantraya. That's all. For the for Jnanamarga when you say Sarvabhudeshu yenaikam bhavam abhyayam rikshade. Where is the difference? Jnani will realize the same thing. Devotee will also realize the same thing. This is realization. Now, don't mix this up with where you are going to go after the leaving the body. Whether you go to Golokam or Vaikuntham or what you are going to do there. They are different. They are not realization. That is your position there in the spiritual world. But if you are a devotee and if you want to be in the spiritual world with Krishna or with gopis or devotees or gopas or whatever that is, or in the Vaikuntham with Narayana and Lakshmi Devi there, or in Ayodhya planet with Ramachandra and Sita Devi there, whatever that is, or in Kailasam with Lord Shiva, that is all on realization. That is where you are transported back. Realization is this, that Sarvabhudeshu yenikam bhavam avyam ikshade. Bhavam avyam ikshade. So there the question is that this oneness realization has to come back to us. And so like he mentions here that there is one thread that is connecting us all together, all living entities in this world, there is one thread that is connecting. And that awareness when it comes to a person, that there is, I am a part of that thread. If I first, I have to realize that I am a part of that thread, then I will realize it is that same thread which is present in everybody. So that awareness, that cannot be seen by the eye. That thread you cannot see with the eye. You can only experience it through knowledge. It cannot be seen with the eye, that thread, connecting all of us, all living entities in this world. So therefore, and this eyes cannot help you in that, and that eye require the eye of knowledge. Remember? Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalagaya Chakshu Milidam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. That's that. That's what it is that verse is saying. Ajnana Timirandasya. Now if you read that verse and if you literally translate, it will mean everybody has got cataract. Isn't it? Everybody should be operated. Timiram is cataract. Ajnana Timirandasya. Timiram is cataract. Ajnana Timirandasya. But my timiram, my cataract is not this cataract, gross cataract what we talk about. My cataract is I don't have that eye of knowledge inside. To able to see things with knowledge from inside. In other words, inside me, the knowledge is not working. Full of ajnanam inside. That eye of knowledge inside, which we call in different names, Shastra Chakshusa or Jnana Chakshusa. These are all different words used in the Shastra. We call it as Jnana Chakshusa. Jnana Chakshusa means, Chakshusa means eye. And the eye of knowledge. Jnana Anjana Shalagaya Chakshur Umminidam Yena. So the spiritual master's responsibility is to do that operation. Shalaga is for operation. Shalaga is what you use for operation. He has to operate it. Chakshur Umminidam Yena. And he has to open up the eye of knowledge inside. The surgeon does the cataract for the external eye. Spiritual master's job is to do the operation inside of that spiritual eye. Knowledge, no eye of knowledge, Shastra Chakshusa, Jnana Chakshusa, he has to open up because it's closed at the moment. Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. That is where that verse is coming from. So, that you can see here, that when that opens up inside, then you are seeing everything different. And that is called Satvika Jnana. Krishna is saying here, Tat Jnanam Sarvabhudeshu Yenekam Bhavam Avyayam Ikshade Avibhaktam Vibhakteshu Tat Jnanam Vidhi Satvikam. Arjuna knows that, Arjuna says to Arjuna, Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna know that knowledge is Satvikam. That knowledge is Satvikam. Avibhaktam Vibhakteshu Avyayam it is. Because if this knowledge has come, then it cannot go. It remains forever. And avibhaktam vibhakteshu tal jnanam vidhi satyugam. So therefore, that verse is very, very important. If you have really assimilated that verse, you should not have any confusion about science. It's a question of acceptance. If you accept Krishna's words, Krishna is saying to us that analyze everything in an impartial way. If you look at it, you can say to people, look, knowledge as far as I am concerned is Bhagavad Gita's knowledge. And this is how knowledge is explained. We are not going against somebody with a way to smash down somebody. We are only pointing out that Krishna is saying to us, because Krishna is accepted as Jagat Guru, isn't it? Jagat Guru, by all the great authorities in the Vedic tradition, they have accepted Krishna as a Jagat Guru. Now, this word Jagat Guru is also a confusing word to many people. So, people have understood that Jagat Guru is one who has preached all over the world. They call it as Jagat Guru. So, you start, and then we address anybody and everybody as Jagat Guru. So, all those who are flying around all over the world, they all should become Jagat Guru based on. No, that is not the reason behind it. Jagat Guru is that person who has accepted the Jagat as the Guru. Suppose you have learned spiritually something from everything in this world, from the creation, Jagat, you are a Jagat Guru. In strictly speaking, the only Jagat Guru is Krishna. That is why that word says, Vasudeva Sudam Devam Kamsa Chanura Vardhanam Devani Paramanandam Krishna Mande Jagat Guru. Krishna is only Jagat Guru. That Jagat Guru, Jagat Gurutvam is this. That if by you have developed this Jnana Chakshusa inside, look, remember, Dattatreya Maharshi found the 24 spiritual masters in this world. Is it not? And similarly, a man who is progressing in spiritual life, he will see something spiritual in everything, everywhere. Something to learn from the experience in life or looking at other living entities. He learned it from five material elements. Isn't it? From there he learned so many things. So similarly, when one starts picking up spiritual knowledge from anything and everything in this world, he is a Jagat Guru. From everything he is picking up knowledge. He is called a Jagat Guru. Not Jagat Guru is one who flying around all over. That's some misunderstanding based on our mind. We have, suppose you get attached to some guru and start feeling very close with him. You start saying next day, Jagat Guru so and so ki jai, and everybody else in the room also has to say jai for that. It's a very awkward situation that is. It's all happening all the time. If you observe carefully, you will see. Suddenly one day some Jagat Guru is presented in front of you. You don't even know this Jagat Guru before. But suddenly you went to a temple and they are saying, oh, so and so Jagat Guru ki jai. And you also, if you're not saying, then they look at you. What's wrong with you? I'm not saying anything. So, this kind of jnana, this is avidya. This is avidya inside. So, come back to this. Satya jnana. Remember this. When Arjuna was shown this universal form, Krishna showed the universal form to Arjuna. That is not satya jnana. That is not satya jnana. Because there, Arjuna is standing there as Arjuna, and he saw this universal form, creation altogether like this. And when he saw that, he got disturbed. He got disturbed. Krishna says to Arjuna at that time, it is like this, that it is something like, suppose somebody took you into some place where you can't go normally, and you didn't have your passport or visa, nothing with you. But he has taken forcefully there, and he showed it to you. Similarly, I have shown this to you, this universal form. You are not qualified for that. But I have taken you and I have shown it to you. And because Arjuna's knowledge is not in the Sattva-gunam, that is why Arjuna got frightened at that time. And when he saw the universal form. Remember this, when he saw universal form, Arjuna was completely frightened. It should not have happened. Because if you were having this Satya-jnanam, Avibhaktam Vibhaktreshu Tat Jnanam Vidhi Satviyam. If Satya Jnanam was there, he should not have got frightened. That is the proof of that. That at that time, when he experienced that, it was some special mercy from Krishna to Arjuna at that particular point in time. Only for a short period of time. To make Arjuna aware that he does not understand everything what he says he understands. To make Arjuna aware of his position, Krishna had to present himself in that form to him. Gave him that. If you look into those verses in the Bhagavad Gita at that time, you will see, only you have got it, Krishna says to Arjuna. Only I have shown this to you. Because it was a special mercy from Krishna. Mercy from Krishna. Look at that verse. If you see there in the 11th chapter, you will see there that Maya prasannena tavarjunedam rupam param darshidam atma yoga tejomayam vishwam anandam adyam yanme tad anyena na drishta purvam. Supreme Prasadi Godhead said, my dear Arjuna, happily I have shown you my internal potency, the supreme universal form within the material world. No one before you has ever seen this form, unlimited and full of glaring effulgence. And the next verse is more important. Na veda yatnye, na veda yatnye adhyayne na daneyo, na chakriyabhir, na tabobhir ugre, evam rupam shakyam aham nuriloge drishtum tad anyena kuru pravira. Anyena kuru pravira. He says here, drishtum tad anyena kuru pravira. Only you have got it. Nobody else has seen this form. Even though in Mahabharata you will see, and in the Bhagavatam also, other instances where Krishna has shown universal form. To Mahabali, Krishna has shown universal form. To Yashoda Devi, twice Krishna has shown universal form. To Dhritarashtra, Krishna has shown universal form, and in Duryodhana also. But all that universal form is different. They are all different. They are not exactly one form, what is picture is shown here. So, important point to remember here is, when the form was seen, what impact it had on the person who saw it. That's the most important thing. What the form is not the important thing. When he saw the form, what impact it had on the person. Arjuna, it was impact was, Arjuna got frightened seeing that form. So, what is indicating to us is, Drishtum tad anyena kuru pravira. Oh, best of the warriors, no one before you has ever seen this universal form of mine. For neither by studying the Vedas, nor by performing sacrifices, nor by charity, nor by pious activity, nor by severe penances, can I be seen in this form in this material world. So then, after saying all that, Krishna is saying here, you can see it when mal karma kadaval paramo mal bhakta sangavarjita nirvaira sarvabhudeshu yasamane dipandava. See that? That's the 55th last verse. Mal karma kadaval paramo mal bhakta sangavarjita nirvaira sarvabhudeshu yasamane dipandava. So that verse devotees can see. How? Through this knowledge. They can see this, that there is this universal form. Our vision is not universal at the moment. Our vision is limited to our senses. Wherever the senses can see that far. But when self-realization or this knowledge comes, satya jnanam comes, at that time what will happen? That is, Krishna mentioned there before, naham vedir na tamasa na dhaneya na chenjaya. Earlier verse, shakya evam vidho drishtam drishtavanasinam yadam. Bhakti Atananyaya Shakya, the verse before that, Bhakti Atananyaya Shakya, all the few verses, yes. Arjuna, that is 52. Yeah. He's saying here, 53 onwards, 53, 54 and 55. Na aham vedirna tamasa, na dhanena na jejaya, shakya evam idho drishtam drishtavarati maam yatham. Bhakti Atananyaya Shakya, aham evam vidho Arjuna, yadum drishtum cha tatvena, praveshtin cha parandava. Mal karma kritam mal paramo, mal bhakta sangavarjitaha, Durvaira Sarvabhudeshu Yasamamedi Pandavaham. So, so there you can see one important point Krishna has mentioned there. If you want this vision of the universal form, if you want that vision, what you do? Through bhakti, you have to come to that oneness, finally. Oneness.
See that? Ahamevam praveshtinja parandava mal karma krita mal paramo mal bhakta sangavarjita nirvaira sarvabhu udeshu samamidi pandava.
Aham Vedam, study of Vedam won't help, tapasya won't help, dhanam, charity won't help, ichya. Then, or none of them will help. Penances, shakya evam vidodrashtam drishtavanasi maam yatha bhaktya tva ananyaya. See that word? Ananyaya. This ananya bhakti is called sattvika jnana. Ananya, you remember this word ananya bhakti, we have spoken many times before. It is there in the Bhagavata Sutram, it is there in Bhagavadam, it is here in the, here also. In Bhagavad Gita, in few places, Krishna has spoken about ananya bhakti. Ananya bhakti means that a stage comes when you realize that jivatma is, actually jivatma is ahanda, but my real identity is Paramatma's identity, Krishna's identity within me. I am Atma, oneness with them. That ananyatum. Ananyatum means, ananyatum is defined also in the Narada Bhakti Sutra. That's the best place to look for. What is that ananyatum means? So, bhaktiya to ananyaya shaktiya. That ananyatum has to happen in bhakti. And if you have understood me in that way, Krishna says, if that realization has happened, then that knowledge is satya. That knowledge is satya jnana. You see. So practically you can see satya jnana is self-realized state. Isn't it? The self-realization has happened to that person. That he has realized who he is. And there what is happening is, even though with his gross eyes, he is seeing different names and forms and differences in the living entities. Inside him, there is one flow, Srodasa, they call it, Srodasa, which is flowing continuously, which is always making him aware that he is present in everyone and they are all present in him. They are all present in him. And that, that awareness, that is Krishna. That awareness is Krishna. That Krishna is present in me and Krishna is present in everybody. That awareness will override the awareness that's coming from the senses. Senses will tell you, senses are still aware of the existence of the so many different living entities and their different and their different identities. But that is through the eyes and the sense mind. But simultaneously, inside him, he has this higher awareness. What is that? That one awareness of Krishna present in everybody. Krishna present in everybody. So, and that awareness, when it wakes up inside, that is called Krishna's grace. Krupa, that is what Krishna called. Or self-realization. And it is in that state, that is a very higher state, where male, female, everything disappears. It's gone from there. Up to that point, the male, female form will still be present in us. We will see it like that, everything. Because we are seeing through the mind and the senses. But in that state, when it comes, even that male, female form disappears from inside. It will not have any effect on us. Today we are affected by the male and female form, isn't it? The male, female form also goes away at that stage. Even that will not have any impact inside. Upanishad puts it very nicely. Listen. Tum stri, tum pumanasi, tum kumara utaha. You are not Vishwadho Mukha. The Shedashadar Upanishad says this. Prabhupada has put it somewhere in the Bhagavad Gita. I don't remember where it is. The same quotation. He is saying there that tum stri, you are not woman anymore. You are not man anymore. And you are not anymore a child. You are not an old man. You are not an old man. And Upanishad says like this, that Rishi is saying like this, addressing that knowledge, he is saying there, you are that woman, you are that Purusha man, and you are that young boy, you are that young girl, and you are that old person who is walking with the stick. All of that is you, says here. And it's all your different manifestations. So, Sri, Purusha, male form, female form, Kumara, Kumari, boy, girl, all these things. When you are aware of all that through your eyes, in the different names and forms, at the same time, externally you notice all these things. But inside you, you are conscious of this presence of Krishna, who is present in you as well as present in all of them. All of them. That will override of all other awareness inside. So, but what happens in normal state is we only see the form, isn't it? Boy, girl, man, woman, old man, old lady, like that. All that will go from inside. Outside you will still see with the senses those forms and names. But inside you will be fully conscious all the time about that one thing that is in present in everyone as well as yourself. That is what Krishna is saying here. And that knowledge, when it happens, it is Satyam. It is Satyam. It is Satyam. And that's what we need. We don't need this Rajasic knowledge. We don't need this Tamasic knowledge. Rajasam, you can see Rajasam, how it develops. Rajasam, when Rajasic knowledge develops, what will happen? First thing what we'll do is we'll get all of all the degrees of getting in the world. From Cambridge or Harvard or whatever degrees you can get, you'll get it. And then you write your name and 3-4 lines after that. All the qualifications you got from this world. Whereas, you look at Dattatreya, Rishabhadeva, Jarabhad and all the Shubhra Mahrishi, they don't have any letters after their name, have they? So, that itself speaks for itself, isn't it? Really, when you become that state, you won't have any letters attached to it. That means I have added on to my avidya more and more, more letters. More qualifications I have added on. That's what it means. So, so when this Satyagat Jnanam comes, knowledge in the mood of goodness, when it comes, our mind will disappear. Mind won't be there. So, if it doesn't happen like that, what will happen is, whenever we see different people, different individuals, we'll start noticing the differences between them. And then, we will get attached to one, we'll get aversion to another one. So, attachment and aversion will develop, and also we will see the differences in them. And it will constantly create faults inside us because of that. It will create the differences will create inside us Rajadvesham. It will come from that. And you cannot stop doing Vyavaharam in this world. Vyavaharam will continue here. But whenever you conduct Vyavaharam, from that problems will come. Problems will come. So therefore Krishna has spoken this Satyagat Jnanam, why it is important. He is saying here that everything you are seeing separately, but while seeing everybody separately, you are learning how not to see the differences. While seeing everybody separately, learning how not to have any differences between them. And that is not a normal situation, isn't it? You see, material knowledge, you can see how it damages your vision. We want to see in everyone that same one force. Instead, what do? We always, in every situation, you can see people are divided, isn't it? Absence of this Satyagat Jnanam. Everybody does this. Big leaders do that. Because this knowledge is missing in them. That instead of bringing them or seeing that oneness present, Krishna present in every living entity, and Satyagat Jnanam is not building up, instead Rajasat Jnanam is growing. When Rajasat Jnanam grows inside, what will happen is you will see everything separate. And you will create that differences. So Satyagat Jnanam means, just because Satyagat Jnanam has come, objects are not going to change. Objects will remain as they are. But in your vision, when you see them, even though senses will notice the differences between people or living entities, inside I am fully conscious that this is one Atma that is present in me, present in every other living being in this world. Once that awareness comes, then you have escaped from here. Then you have escaped from here. Limitation is gone, the insight. Because that is your realization. It's not the one that has come through the mind and the senses. So, it's just like you will see sometimes in the marketplace they sell this kind of photos. I don't know whether you may have noticed or not noticed. If you go into the, here you don't see it, but in the temple festivals and all that in India, people, villagers come there to buy. They come for the festival and they'll buy something and go home. So what they do, then different people come there to sell different things. So there is some photos, they make it like this. If you look from one side, it is one deity. If you come in the front, it is another deity. If you go in another side, it is another deity. So, like this. There's a special kind of different deities in one photograph. Depending on where you're looking at it, it will change. So it depends on your looking, which deity is there in that photograph, isn't it? Unconventionally. So, which is the right one, if you ask which one it is, you don't know. There is no answer to that question, isn't it? So similarly, all these forms I am seeing in the world outside, and I am calling it by different names also, Shiva, Vishnu, or any other form, Om, whatever it is. So, because it is projected inside me, in that way, in that particular pattern, it is projected to me. It is, everything is Shiva, or everything is Vishnu, everything is Krishna, everything is Om. Different people say like that, isn't it? So, but this is all the sthulam, the gross side of it. But sthulam, that's without being connected with the sthulam. Sthulam means the gross thing. There is another form inside which is present in everyone of that creation. And if you keep on looking and when you start realizing, you will see that inside that this external seeing is like this. That I've seen from one side one form, another side another form, another side another form. That will go away and I'll see inside me any living entity when I look, I'll see there it is Krishna who is present there. Presence of Atma, presence of Krishna, whichever way you address that, is present there. So in other words, what will happen is that that vision when it comes, it is from another angle. Like when you look at three different angles, you are seeing three different photos in the same photograph. But here is another angle, when you start looking, all these three forms disappears and another form comes to you from inside. Because here, when you are seeing these different names and forms also, Krishna is saying, beyond these names and forms, avibhaktanja vibhakteshu, tadjnanam saptikam, vidhi saptikam, Krishna is saying here. That is to happen. Avibhaktam vibhakteshu, tadjnanam vidhi saptikam. And so therefore, when all this namarupam is still present there, that Andaryami inside, he is the one who is Avibhakta. Andaryami inside, he is Avibhakta. So when you start experiencing that Andaryami inside, if you make that grow, that vision grow, then that is what is Sattvika Jnana, Krishna is saying. As soon as you leave this awareness of the different bodies, different names, and relationship with them in the bodily level, whatever we have cultivated or developed, all that knowledge leaves you. As soon as this avibhaktam cha vibhakteshu tal jnanam vidhi sattvikam. It is at that time, beyond this namarupam, beyond this name and form, that Andaryami who is avibhaktam. Andaryami is avibhaktam, you have to remember that. Andaryami is, there is no broken. Andaryami is not broken. Only our false ego is broken, that's why they are different. Only our senses, body is broken, that's why they are different. But Andaryami present in everybody is one. Is that? Andaryami is one. And making that Andaryami awareness to grow inside, Krishna calls that as Sattvika Jnana. When that happens, that means Andaryami realization, in other words. At that time, you leave your realization of the body, your realization of the jiva, handa, false ego, that goes away. So, if that happens, there is no friend and enemy after that. And there is no good person, bad person. And wherever the eyes are looking and seeing, and even if you have made contact with somebody, you will always experience your keeping in contact with an Antaryami there. It is Antaryami to Antaryami contact. It's not anymore from vasana to vasana. At the moment, all our contact is based on our vasana. That is why one person I like, another person I don't like. Because it's from the vasana it's coming, that attachment. So, once this Antaryami level it develops, then this will disappear. Which one? This vasanavalpanam. Vasanavalpanam means, based on the vasana, that relationship what existed before, that will go away. And Antaryami level relationship, it's only one. That means there won't be any differences from one person to another person. It will go away. So, whomever you go to, you are going towards the Krishna. You are going to the Krishna. And in there will be problem in their nature. In their nature, there will be defects. There will be shortcomings in them according to their vasana. Because they have not come to that state. And therefore, in their prakriti, means their nature, in their swabhavam, there will be drawbacks, there will be shortcomings in them. But you are not affected by that prakriti, by their prakriti. And the greatest problem is that you get affected by somebody else's prakriti, isn't it? Others' prakriti affects you. That's the great one. So, because what's happening is, my prakriti is coming into contact with somebody else's prakriti. When prakriti makes that contact, I will have a problem. Because my prakriti is different from somebody else's prakriti. And when your prakriti is making contact with somebody else's prakriti, and problems develop from that, that is called material existence, or called samsara. Samsara is a big thing, isn't it? Samsara means that my prakriti is making contact with somebody else's prakriti, and it is creating tension or friction or some attachment or aversion or ragam, dvesham, whatever that is, any other emotions, it's all coming up from that. It is due to problem with the prakriti. Prakriti is not going to go. Prakriti will remain as it is. But Krishna is saying here, if you have come to this stage that you are not in a position, not anymore making contact with prakriti of another person, then if you want to make that happen, first of all, you have to become free from your prakriti. Suppose my prakriti should not take any contact with somebody else's prakriti. First of all, I have to break up my connection with my prakriti. And that is why in Shastra they call it as Asparsha Yoga. No Sparsha. Asparsha Yoga, it is called. Asparsha Yoga. In other words, I am not in contact with my own prakriti, and therefore, my prakriti won't have any problem with somebody else's prakriti. Prakriti you can't change. Prakriti will be there. Only thing is you have to move away from the prakriti. That's all you can do. So, now what we are thinking is we'll preach and change the prakriti of this world. This never will get changed. I can tell you that you can spend the whole life in this world changing the prakriti of this world. Vivekananda said this also. He said, you get a dog and put a pipe on its tail, which is already bent, leave it for 1,000 years and take out that pipe out, the dog tail will go back to its original position. This world is like that. Do not try to change the nature of this world. But we have some misconceptions in us that we will change the world, isn't it? And that is prakriti. You can't change prakriti. Prakriti is so strong that it's impossible. So, and what's happening, actually what will happen is, that's why all realized souls, they will always say this, that all what you can do is, that you come out of your own prakriti first. And then, you won't have any contact with somebody else's prakriti. Because normally when two people meet, it is there one's prakriti is meeting up with the other prakriti, other person's prakriti. Contact is between the two prakriti. So, once we have woken up inside, within ourselves, we have lost the contact with the prakriti, instead we have contact with the Antaryami inside. And I have only contact with the Antaryami. In that situation, we will only see not the other person's prakriti anymore, we will only see the antaryami in that person. And the more we experience in that way, to that extent, it will become avyayam. See that word Krishna has used there? Avyayam.
See there? Sarva bhuteshu yenaikam bhavam avyayam ikshare.
That avyaya bhavam is that. Avyaya bhav means, I have lost contact with my own prakriti, and because of that, my prakriti cannot make contact with somebody else's prakriti anymore. And what is inside me is, I have contact with the Purusha or Adhyami inside. Therefore, if I come into contact with another person, I will only contact with my Adhyami, will interact with that Adhyami inside and see the oneness between the two Adhyamis. And therefore, I won't suffer and that person also may not experience any misery because of that. So that is the subject. See the level of realization required for that. And Krishna calls it, that is the mood of goodness. Sattvika jnana. Sarva bhuteshu yenekam bhavam avyayam ikshade avibhaktam vibhakteshu tatjnanam vidhi sattvikam. Tatjnanam vidhi sattvikam. That knowledge is sattvika jnana. Now, you see, from this you can understand that why we can't accept science for this reason. Because what is science done in this world? Except that it has broken and broken and broken and created all this hell, what is created already. This is science's hell. Where is it held? Except that it has divided people more and more and made them to fight and quarrel with the help of this science. And not only that, it has boosted this false ego to such an extent that people feel that they have the knowledge, that they won't listen to anybody. When Krishna is saying something to us, we won't accept it. We will reject Krishna's instructions also because of this ego is inside. And therefore the problem is this Sattvika Jnanam cannot develop in people like that when there is a very high degree of false ego inside. So, avyayam, that word is important. Avyayam. Avyayam means which doesn't have vyayam. Energy which doesn't have, never gets destroyed, never gets finished continuously. That means once this Antaryami relationship has happened, Antaryami realization has happened, then there will be never once again you will lose that realization. You will lose that realization. Because that is Krishna's form, that Antaryami. So if you start, whenever you see somebody, if you are seeing the Antaryami in him, then you start seeing Krishna is different forms, in other words, there also. So there is an interesting story about this. It is in the Upanishads, the story coming from. So there was a king once who lived, and he was a great devotee. Devotee means that he had a great respect for the devotees. And he had gone very high spiritually because he was not only a king, at the same time he was Rajarshi. In other words, he cultivated spiritual life very seriously and studied Srimad Bhagavatam very well. Naturally, because of that, he has a high respect and regard for the devotees who had practicing spiritual life. So, particularly he had an attachment to the sannyasis, and he used to invite them to come to the palace. Wherever he happened to meet sannyasis and the devotees, he used to invite them to the palace. It was like that before. Nowadays it doesn't happen anymore. Nowadays we have put them all into one category. All the spiritual people, isn't it? And the government tells them, you can have your meeting, but don't come to the Westminster or tell us anything. Only on a Diwali day you can come and light the lamp and tell us, and we'll look at you and take a photograph, and you have to leave the state away within an hour. After that you're not allowed inside. Same thing with all other ceremonies also in the same way. Spiritual knowledge they won't accept, they won't listen. But at the same time they have this. But it was not like that when the kings, in the Bhagavatam you will see so many kings in that category, that they were capable of inviting great rishis and sages to the palace, listening to them. This is Vedic culture. Listening from them and utilizing the knowledge of the Atma in their own life in this world. Many, many great persons have done that. Whole of Ninth Canto is a history of that, is it not? Great personalities. Like you can see Parikshit Maharaj, listening to Srinivasa Maharshi, many, many instances. Yudhishthira Maharaj listening to Markandeya Maharshi. And similarly, you can see Pradhu Maharaj inviting for Kumaras in the palace. So that is the Vedic tradition, that the kings will never rule on their own, always in touch with the transcendence, with the highly realized souls. So similarly here also, he used to invite these great rishis and sages and devotees, sannyasis, everybody into the palace and serve them and look after them and listen from them. So the ministers who were present there, they were seeing this all the time. The king was busy with these things. So, but in their eyes, the ministers, they will judge these people who are coming to the palace. And they used to think, some of them are not really sannyasis, you know. They are all hodgepodge ones, bogus ones. They are also coming and taking advantage of the king. And they were noticing this. That will always happen, isn't it? So some of them, what they used to do, they used to take temporary sannyasam. Before they came to the palace, they will put a saffron dhoti and take a danda and come and enjoy the king's hospitality, because king was like that. He will invite anybody. If he is attracted to them, he will invite them. And invite them in the palace, look after them, wash their feet, and give them nice prasadam and everything. So, like that he used to do. So the ministers, they used to see this. And at some point the ministers were getting a little bit upset about this. Our king is really getting fooled by this lot who are coming all the time. This has happened, this can happen. This has happened to Krishna's children, you know, Sangha and others. When that is when these things will happen, when even the bad time comes. He came up to them, Duvasau, Vishwamitra and others are passing through. They felt that these old men, these rishis, they are coming and seeing our father all the time. And father spends a lot of time with them. And they come and they have good prasadam and they go afterwards. So they thought, let's make some fun about them. This is what came to their head. So similarly, this will happen to all of us in the same way. So these sannyasis, some of them, they used to put the sannyasi cloth. Afterwards, they will go and they change the cloth and do their work, whatever they were doing before. So one of the minister thought, the chief minister, prime minister thought, I have to make this king aware that he is getting cheated by these people. And I have to tell him that without really knowing that person very well, and without knowing his credentials, you should not bring him in and start worshipping him like this. So what the minister did, he was finding it difficult to tell this to the king, because king may turn the other way. It will cause problems to him. So what he did was, he went to the street and he caught hold of one person. And that person's job was, he was a, what we call one who plays in the drama, actor. He was an actor in the drama. And he told him, you dress up like a sannyasi and come with me. I'll take you to the palace, he said. And he brought him in, dressed up as a sannyasi, and told the king that, you know, this is one of the very famous sannyasis. He is visiting this kingdom. Please pay your respects to him and everything. He was only an ordinary person from the street, but dressed up very well as a famous sannyasi like that. So the king, as usual, accepted what the minister has told, washed his feet, gave him good prasadam, gave him all facilities and spent time with him, asked for his blessings, everything. And next day he left. So he went back to his normal profession as an actor in the drama. So what the minister did, the minister told the king, come with me now, he said. He took him and they went together, and when they went together and they saw this same sannyasi who was there, he was playing some drama role in the street drama, what was going on there. So the minister says to the king, look at that person who is acting in that drama. So he says to him, look at him, who it is. You are worshipping all these people, aren't you? He said to the king, to make him aware that it was somebody actually getting cheated by that. And saying that, he showed the drama to him. And the king, after hearing this, he kept looking at that person. And minister thought that the king will get angry now. But king was not getting angry. So king thought that. So he asked the king, what is it that, what do you find there? He said, the king answered like this, I'm surprised that Krishna has come to my house yesterday in that form. I'm surprised, he said. And now he's playing this role as a drama actor. This is how the king has seen it. So you see where things change. What we have to understand is that the minister has not reached that level yet. King has reached that status, that he is only seeing Krishna's presence in everyone as Antaryami. So when, even though the king minister has brought him dressed up like a sannyasi and thought that the king will turn against all these fake sannyasis, but his vision has gone so high that he can't see anybody as fake, because he's only seeing this Antaryami inside him. Antaryami inside him. Fake and all that is based on the dress only, is it not? But once you have realized the Antaryami, and especially if you have lost that Prakriti, connection with somebody else in the Prakriti level, that's broken. Only in the Antaryami level, if you have relationship with anybody, then whether it is a fake or not fake, it doesn't matter. Because you are only contacting with the Antaryami then. That is the point that story is talking about. So, he says here, the Krishna has come to my house as sannyasi yesterday, and now he is playing the role of an actor in the drama. He didn't see any problem in that. Why? He was only seeing the Antaryami in the drama actor as well as in the sannyasi. Krishna, he has only seen Krishna there, Antaryami inside. He has not seen in terms of sannyasi or a drama actor or a good person or a bad person or a cheat or a fake or anything like that. So he says, yesterday he came to our palace in the sannyasi dress. Now he is playing the role of a drama actor. So if this realization comes to somebody, then this fear will go. Oh, I have been cheated and all that. I have been cheated and I have been... all other identities is coming from this bodily identity, isn't it? Or we hate somebody because he has cheated you. And or to think that somebody has taken away your wealth in this world, or somebody is causing a loss for you, all these thoughts will disappear as soon as this you have come out of the Prakriti. In other words, Krishna says, always you are in a profitable state. Because the vastu, what you are looking for, when you have that Antaryami realization, is available everywhere. Because you are looking for Antaryami in another person. You are not looking for any other things from another person. It is only due to vasana that you are expecting something from somebody inside us. We have some vasana inside us, therefore we are expecting something from someone. But once the Antaryami realization has happened, then that expectation will go away. Because all you are expecting then is to see in somebody as Antaryami inside. The same Antaryami who is inside. And that Antaryami is inside the thief and inside the person who is cheating you everywhere. And that is why in the thousand names of Vishnu, you will see a word, Taskaram Pataye Nama. He is the head of all the cheats, all the thieves. Krishna is the head of all of them, isn't it? Taskaram Pataye Nama. In Sri Rudram you will find this. That is where it comes from. In Sri Rudram, in thousand names also it is spoken. For example, Stena. Stena means one who steals. Taskara is also one who steals. That is all addressed as Krishna's different manifestations. So he is present in the person who is cheating, who is lying, and who is a sannyasi. Only if this realization comes, only then that realization, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, will happen. Which one? Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavi hastini shuni chaiva shubhageja bandida samadarshita. The samadarshita means that. This satya jnanam. Satya jnanam is the samadarshita. So you can see, samadarshita means satya jnanam. Satya jnanam means Samadarshita.
Samadarshita means equal vision.
Equal vision.
Equal vision can only happen through Antaryami realizations, in other words.
And if you have seen that, if you have seen that, then there is no more problem. So somebody is trying to cheat you, that person also, Antaryami is doing that. If you have accepted that and that realization has happened, then you won't feel any kind of revenge towards that person. Antaryami, who is inside me, is sitting in that person and doing it to me. In that way, you will be able to accept that without any problems. So, similarly, if somebody is getting upset with you heavily, when that anger comes, you will take it that Antaryami inside that person is getting angry. So, the moment, the only solution to the problem is to finally see this Antaryami present in everyone instead of seeing on the surface. At the moment, our vision is all on the surface. Is it not? Name, form, personality, swabhava, prakriti. This is what we see nowadays. Till we leave all these things and only see the Antaryami present in everyone, if you want to see that, you have to give up this habit of seeing the surface. Seeing the surface. So not seeing the surface and seeing the Antaryami inside, that knowledge is called Satyajnana. Yeah? So now you see what Satyajnana means? That verse is quite an important verse. It brings so much into our spiritual life. If you have a spiritual life. That's what it means. That sarva bhuteshu yeneikam. See, in four lines Krishna summarized that. Sarva bhuteshu yeneikam bhavam avyayam ikshate avibhaktam vibhakteshu talpyanam vidhi sattvijam. Satyika jnanam. Krishna says like that. So, that is that verse. Now, here, we are now 20 verses we have finished here. The 20 verses. And, out of this 18th chapter. Up to 18th verse, it was all about karma. And then Krishna started talking about jnanam. Karma and jnanam is always together. One without other cannot. Jnanam, karma cannot exist without jnanam. Jnanam can exist without karma. This is the way it works. So, jnanam is important. That is why karma helps us to come to that state of jnanam. That is why Krishna is moving like this from karma to jnanam. So, this jnanam, now we are, Krishna is talking about, Krishna says there is three kinds, isn't it? Jnanam, there is three kinds, he said. And jnanam, which one based on the Sattvagunam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam. And there he mentioned there that sarvabhuteshu yeneikam bhavam avyayam ikshate avibhaktam vibhakteshu tal jnanam vidhi satyam. So, satyika jnanam. Satyika jnanam. We will take, start discussing that in a few minutes.
Yeah.
ಸರ್ವಭೂತೇಷು ಯೇನೈಕಂ ಭಾವಂ ಅವ್ಯಯಮೀಕ್ಷತೆ ಅವಿಭಕ್ತಂ ವಿಭಕ್ತೇಷು ತಜ್ಞಾನಂ ವಿಧಿ ಸಾತ್ವಿಕಂ. ಸರ್ವಭೂತೇಷು ಅವ್ಯಕ್ತಾದಿ ಸ್ಥಾವರಾಂಶೇಷು ಭೂತೇಷು ಯೇನ ಜ್ಞಾನೇನ ಏಕಂ ಭಾವಂ ವಸ್ತು ಭಾವಶಬ್ದೋ ವಸ್ತು ವಾಚಿ ಏಕಂ ಆತ್ಮವಸ್ತು ಇತ್ಯರ್ಥಃ ಅವ್ಯಯಂ ನ ವೇದಿ ಸ್ವಾತ್ಮನಃ ಕರ್ಮೈವ ಕೂಟಸ್ಥ ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಇತ್ಯರ್ಥಃ ಈಕ್ಷತೆ ಯೇನ ಜ್ಞಾನೇನ ಪಶ್ಯತಿ. ಸೋ ತಂ ಚ ಭಾವಂ ಅವಿಭಕ್ತಂ ಪ್ರತಿದೇಹಂ ವಿಭಕ್ತೇಷು ದೇಹಭೇದೇಷು ನ ವಿಭಕ್ತಂ ತದ್ ಆತ್ಮವಸ್ತು ವ್ಯೋಮವದ್ ನಿರಂತರಂ ಇತ್ಯರ್ಥಃ. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ದೇರ್ ದಟ್ ತಂ ಚ ಭಾವಂ ಅವಿಭಕ್ತಂ. ಅವಿಭಕ್ತಂ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಆತ್ಮ ಹೂ ಇಸ್ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟ್ ಇನ್ ಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್ ಬಾಡೀಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಬಟ್ ದಟ್ ಆತ್ಮ ಸೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಆಸ್ ಒನ್ ದೇಹಭೇದೇಷು ನ ವಿಭಕ್ತಂ ಬಟ್ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಬ್ರೋಕನ್ ಬಟ್ ಅಪೀರ್ಸ್ ಆಸ್ ಸೋ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಬ್ರೋಕನ್. ತತ್ ಆತ್ಮವಸ್ತು ವ್ಯೋಮವದ್ ನಿರಂತರಂ ಇತ್ಯರ್ಥಃ. ವ್ಯೋಮವದ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಿ ಸ್ಕೈ ಇಸ್ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟ್ ಇನ್ ಎವ್ರಿವನ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಿ ಸ್ಕೈ ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಿಸ್ ದಟ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಘಟಾಕಾಶಂ ಮಠಾಕಾಶಂ ರಿಮೆಂಬರ್ ದಟ್ ಸ್ಕೈ ಇನ್ ದ ಪಾಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ವೆನ್ ದ ಪಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಬ್ರೋಕನ್ ಇಟ್ ಬಿಕೇಮ್ ಒನ್ ಇಟ್ ಸೇಸ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ 12th ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ ಇಸ್ಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಕಡಾಕಾಶಂ ಮಠಾಕಾಶಂ ದಾನ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್ ಇಸ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದೇರ್. ತತ್ ಜ್ಞಾನಂ ಅದ್ವೈತಾತ್ಮ ದರ್ಶನಂ ಸಾತ್ವಿಕಂ ಸಮ್ಯಕ್ ದರ್ಶನಂ ವಿಧೀತಿ. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಸಾತ್ವಿಕಂ. ಸೊ ಅಂಡ್ ದೇರ್ ಫೋರ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟೆಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಸೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಿಸ್ ನೌ ಫಾರ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್ ದಿಸ್ ಒನ್ ಪ್ರೆಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಒನ್ ಆತ್ಮ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟ್ ಎವ್ರಿವೇರ್ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಸೀಯಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ಯಾನಿ ದ್ವೈತ ದರ್ಶನಾನಿ ಅಸಮ್ಯ ಭೂತಾನಿ ರಾಜಸಾನಿ ತಾಮ್ರಸಾನಿ ಚಿನ್ನ ಸಾಕ್ಷಾತ್ ಸಂಸಾರೋ ಚಿತಯೇ ಭವಂತಿ ದಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ನಾಟ್ ಬ್ರೇಕ್ ಅವೇ ದಿ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಎಕ್ಸಿಸ್ಟೆನ್ಸ್ ವಿಲ್ ಕಮ್ ಟು ದಟ್ ರೈಟ್. ಸೊ ಹಿಯರ್ ವಾಟ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಟಾಕ್ಡ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಸರ್ವಭೂತೇಷು ಏನೇಕಂ ಏಕಂ ಭಾವಂ ಅವ್ಯಯಂ ಈಕ್ಷತೆ ಅವಿಭಕ್ತಂ ವಿಭಕ್ತೇಷು ಯತ್ ಜ್ಞಾನಂ ವಿಧಿ ಸಾತ್ವಿಕಂ. ಸೊ so satika jnanam as I mentioned before jnanam means what we call it as jnanam is our present jnanam is knowledge about various things isn't it that's our knowledge at the moment our knowledge at the moment we know a lot of things about a lot of things we know all information what we have collected that's our knowledge at the moment. So Krishna said this in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita itself. You remember? Bahushakha anandascha buddhayo avivasanaya. There itself he has hammered it on us. But we have not understood the gravity at that time. But now you can understand where it's coming from. That satika jnanam is always in the one, fixed on that one truth. Atma. Nothing else. Andaryami inside. Bahushakha anandascha buddhayo avivasanaya. Those who has whose knowledge is many branched and in anything and everything, that bifurcation or breaking up has happened, it is at that time avyavasayatvam has happened. Once you have that oneness realization, as Krishna says there, isn't it? How does that verse begin? There also that ekeham Krishna has spoken. Vyavasayatmiyavuddhi ekeha kurunandana. Here also Krishna is sarvabhudeshu yen ekam. Ekam, it is one. But if it is broken up, bahushakha anandascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. Broken knowledge with various names and forms and information and all that. That is all avyavasayinam. That won't help in spiritual life. That is not satika jnana. So that verse, ವ್ಯವಸಾಯಾತ್ಮೀಯಾಭಿವೃದ್ಧಿ ಏಕೈಕ ಗುರುನಂದನ ಬುದ್ಧ ಬಹುಶಾಖ ಆನಂದಶ್ಚ ಬುದ್ಧಯೋ ವ್ಯವಸಾಯಿನಾಂ
It is the same message Krishna is putting through this verse also, but in a different way. Here, Krishna calls it as knowledge in Satya Jnana, or knowledge in the mode of goodness. That knowledge is called the knowledge in the mode of goodness. For example, water, if you take. We went to school of knowledge, and they told water is nothing but you can break into hydrogen and oxygen. Isn't it? Two particles of hydrogen and one particle of oxygen is water, they told us. And then they said there's atoms inside there. And if you keep on breaking up like this, and we can see that we have accepted that as knowledge, is it not? But that is not spiritual knowledge. That is the materialistic knowledge. So, and then Krishna is saying here, Adhyatma Jnanam or Satya Jnanam. Remember Adhyatma Jnanam, Krishna calls it as. Adhyatma Jnanam Nityatvam Tattva Jnanavata Darshanam. In the... Edam Jnanam Vidim Prokta Ajnanam Dhanan Yatha. He says there. It is not in the 5th, it is in the 10th chapter, I think. Tenth or 11th, I don't know, 13th, something like that. There he mentioned what is Jnanam. 13th, is it?
Yeah, 8th.
See, there also he is saying to us, Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam Edal Jnana Midi Proktam Asyanam Tadanyanyatha. Last 12th verse, isn't it?
Yeah.
Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam Edal Jnanam Midi Proktam Ajnanam Yadanyatha. So, he is saying there that that accepting the importance of self-realization, philosophical search for the absolute truth, all these I declare to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever there may be, is all ignorance. So that's the same thing. Adhyatma Jnanam is knowledge. Material knowledge is not knowledge, it is ignorance. Because material knowledge breaks up everything. Bifurcates, isn't it? Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam. Nityatvam means always fixed in that knowledge of the self. And how through Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam, through Tattva Jnanam, you reach that state. Eral Jnanam Iti Proktam, and that is called Jnanam. Everything outside that is Ajnanam Tadananyatha. Everything else is Ajnanam. So therefore, everything that does this is all considered to be Ajnanam or Avidya. So, it is no point in battling with the science. There is no point in battling with science. It's a waste of time. You can understand why it is a waste of time. Is it not? The only thing is, till whoever the scientist is, who is propagating or who is going outside, till they come to this understanding that, and they need to understand what Krishna is, first of all, he has to accept the soul. He has to accept the soul, existence of the soul. Then he has to accept from those who have knowledge of the soul and who have realized the soul. And they are telling us, the Rishis and Krishna is also telling us in Bhagavad Gita, that this is the nature of the knowledge in spiritual life. In spiritual life. It has to be like this. Avibhaktam vibhasteshu tal jnanam vidhisatviyam. And Krishna also mentioned that adhyatma jnanam ityattam tattva jnanartha darshanam. Yadal jnanam idiproktam ajnanam dhananyatha. Everything outside spiritual knowledge is considered to be ignorance. It has no meaning. Knowledge about this creation. What meaning has it got? First of all, it's changing. Anything that is changing, what will you say it? Something that is changing. That is why in science has got all this problem all the time. They keep on changing. Maya will play this game with us. Maya will keep changing everything. That is why last 20-30 years ago one theory was found. Just today that theory is going out of we still have to decide whether Darwin is right or wrong, isn't it? We're still talking about it. Somebody is still forcing Darwin. Somebody else's Darwin is out of date. Why this confusion? Knowledge cannot be like that. That Krishna has already spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, Nasulo Vidyade Bhavo. The Bhavo Vidyade. There he has already refuted that.
So you can see from Bhagavad Gita's point of view, whatever you are getting from Bhagavad Gita is absolute. There cannot anything go wrong with that. It cannot change any time. That knowledge remained then as knowledge, it remained as knowledge, and it will remain now as knowledge, it will remain as knowledge in the future as well. 5,000 years it has survived this knowledge. When Krishna spoke then, people are accepting even today that, is it not? So that's what Krishna is saying. We have to see the gravity of that statement. Only then you can understand that. So Krishna is saying here, Adhyatma Jnanam is Satyika Jnanam. He's in the mood of so Sarvabhudeshu Yenegam Bhav Amya Mukshade Avimattam Vibhatteshu Talkyanam Vidhi Satyam. So in all living entity, Sarvabhudeshu, I am present there. Krishna is present there. Avyaya Bhava Mekshade Avibhattam Vibhateshu Tasnyanam Vidhi Santiyam. Avyaya means which doesn't change. That is called Avyaya. It is mentioned there as imperishable, I think, in the translation. The real meaning of Avyaya is which doesn't change. Changing is not knowledge. If something is changing, you can't have a real knowledge about it, can you? If something is always changing, the body is changing all the time. And if I say I've got all knowledge about the body, no, I don't have any knowledge about the body. Body is changing. Which one is correct? I was a young boy, is that the correct position? Or I'm an old man now, is this the correct position? Which is one right? Similarly, when I look at the nature, everything is changing. All elements are changing. Countries are changing, the landscape is changing. Everything is changing in this. The sky is changing. Every material elements are all changing. So, that one which doesn't change is called avyayam. It means, another word used in the shastra is kudastam. You have come across this word before. Kudastam vidhi uchyade, the 13th chapter. So, kudastam means which doesn't change. So, that kudastam, avyayam thing, first we have to see in ourselves, before we seeing it ourselves. So, Ardhyam khati talparam sarvabhudeshu. It says here that avyayam kodastam, that one has to see that first within oneself. Sarvabhudeshu avyatadi stavarandareshu bhudeshu yena jnanina ekam bhavam vastu bhavam shabdo vastu vachi ekam alpa vastu ityarthaha avyayam navyedi svalpanaha dharmehi va kodastam kodastha nityam ityartha ikshade yena jnanina pashyati yena jnanina pashyati. So first thing is within oneself seeing this, that vastu which is avyayam. Within oneself means where? Inside oneself, inside the heart. Now we have problem there itself, isn't it? As soon as you say heart, we'll go by the mechanical heart. That is not the heart Krishna is talking about. Then you have to define what is heart. So, this way the problem starts. The other day somebody was asking, he's saying that, you see that words in the Bhagavad Gita, Tadvindi Pranibhadena Pariprasnena Sevaya Upadekshandide Jnanam Jnaninam Tattva Darshinam. Now, you see when translation you do, how difficulty it comes. If you look at that verse and see the translation, how it causes difficulty.
434.
Good. 434. Yeah. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Now, here, you see what happened? He's saying here, the self-realized souls can impart knowledge. In the original Bhagavad Gita, it is self-realized souls. It is. Do you know that?
Yeah.
You know what he said? So, why did Prabhupada translate like that? This question has come up many times. In the verse it says, Jnaninas. Jnaninas means plural, not singular. In the translation, if you remember Prabhupada mentions there, if you have the original Bhagavad Gita, you'll see there, the self-realized soul can impart, is that the original?
Yeah.
Yeah. See there, self-realized soul can.
Yeah,
it is singular. Yeah. Whereas in the words it is plural. So, our people, what they have done, the editors, they made it plural in the translation. Prabhupada put it as singular in the translation, whereas in the words it is plural. Because they did not understand why it is like that. The correct thing is singular in the translation. That is correct. And in the words it is plural, that is correct. When you do translation work, this problem will come. Why it is so? Now try to understand that words, then you will know why it is a problem. Upadekshanive jnanam jnaninas tattva darshinam. That is a statement in relationship with tattva-darshi is only, tattva-darshi, who is a tattva-darshi alone can give that spiritual realization. That is what that verse is saying. That means, tad-vidhi pranipadena, and to him, you have to go, surrender unto him, pranipadam, pariprasnam, seva. Three things he has spoken there. Is it not? Pranipadam means approaching him, then pariprasnam by submissive inquiry, and seva by rendering service. That's all perfect. Upadekshanire jnanam jnanina sattva darshina. Only realized souls, jnanis, should be approached to get the self-realization. Said like that. When it came to translation, Prabhupada deliberately used the word singular there. Why? He said, self-realized soul, that is the right one. This is wrong, what is in this book. This is translation-wise it's correct. Spiritually it's wrong. Why? The event in your life, you will meet up with various people from whom you will take spiritual instructions in various levels, like Dattatreya did and so many others did. But that person who will release you from material existence is one. Guru is one. That Guru is one. And he alone, and he has to be a realized soul, who will release you from your material existence once for all. Like in the case of Parikshit, you saw Shudrama, she released him. So he is one person, self-realized soul he is at that time, not plural. Plural has no meaning. Self-realized soul, he is one. Alone can release you, depart you the knowledge because he has seen the truth. So there, singular is appropriate word. But because when you translate, because your people wants to verify if the translation is correct or not. Translation cannot give you everything. It's a spiritual issue. Spiritually, what is the problem? Problem is this. General statement is jnanina tattva darshina. Tattva darshi, jnani alone can give you the, has to be approached for and render service unto them and get there, and through them only realization can happen. So that is why when you translate it, the self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Because it will be that one soul, one person who is self-realized, only that person will be able to release you from material existence. Who will be able to get you out of the material life once for all. So therefore, there it is, singular is appropriate, not the plural. Do you know what I'm saying? So this issue will always come up in the books. Various levels in these problems will come up. So, first thing is, Krishna is saying here that kodastham, that's the word we are talking about. Kodastham means that who is never changing inside and that has to be experienced inside and one has to see him, that kodastham inside himself first. Vaya means that what is changing. Avyayam it is. So, vaya means that what you are spending. So, money for example, it's vaya. Isn't it? You keep spending, it gets finished. One day. So, whereas if the money doesn't get finished, then it is avyaya. It is avyaya. So, is there anything in our experience now that all the time it remains, it never changes. And if you look at yourself and see, is there anything in your experience now which never changes and which always remains the same? That is awareness. Is it not? Bodham. Bodham is always there. I am that awareness, what's coming from the self, from Atma. That's where it's coming from, that awareness. That awareness, even if you're injured, it doesn't get reduced, isn't it? Suppose you have taken away part of your body, still awareness is full. It doesn't come down. Even if you get sick, awareness is still there. When you are a boy or a little girl, awareness is there in full. When you are grown up, awareness is there, full. When you are an old person, awareness is still there. So this awareness all the time never changes. That is the nature of the avayam. That is avayam means. So that is why, that is what the self-inquiry is all about. You are holding on to that. That when I look at myself, I am seeing that everything else in the body is changing. Mind is changing. Body is changing. And swabhav is changing. Karma is changing. Senses are changing. Ego is changing. If there is one vastu in this whole package which doesn't change, it is that awareness. Awareness is the only thing that is staying here. So, and that vastu, what I am seeing within myself, if I see that, that the same vastu is present in everybody else, and then you can see here that you will see that that is the truth. But if you are not seeing within yourself that vastu, you won't be able to see that in somebody else. First thing is to become aware of that non-changing nature of the Atma inside. You have to realize it either through jnanam or through bhakti, whichever way it is. Either through jnanam or through bhakti, you have to realize that unchanging nature of me. I have to come to realize that. Once I realize that, after that, when you look at others, you will see it is the same vastu who is present in them as well. And if you are not seeing it within yourself, you won't be able to see in others. That is the difficulty. In ourselves, you can see mind, body, intelligence, all these things are changing. My knowledge is also changing because it is also in the field of the mind, isn't it? Manomandalam, it is. And all my emotions are changing. In all this changing, is there something which does not change? Or Prabhupada mentions that inexhaustible source of energy. If there is something like that, and when you inquire that source, where that energy is coming from, in intellectual level, if you do that, not purely with intelligence. When I say with intellectual level, not with intelligence, but through Shraddha. Remember this, intelligence when we bring up, it will go in the way material intelligence is. Material intelligence doesn't help. What's necessary is Shraddha. Shraddha brings knowledge, Sharanagati brings bhakti. Two things, very simple. Shraddha brings knowledge, spiritual knowledge. Sharanagati brings bhakti. Sharanagati brings bhakti. So this Shraddha is a very important, powerful thing. Powerful thing. And Krishna has given that to us. This power of Shraddha or attention or Metta Shakti. Or Metta Shakti. So there is in Sanskrit among the in the olden days, it's also there I believe, to some limited extent. There are some people who are highly learned, not only learned, their this Shraddha Shakti, they have developed to such a high degree. It's called also called the Metta Shakti. Metta Shakti or Shraddha Shakti. Not intelligence, Metta Shakti. Now, they have what they call as Ashtadhavani. Ashtadhavani means that there is one person who sits there and he has got 8 people sits around him. There is Ashtadhavani, then there is Dashadhavani and there is Shatadhavani. What they do is, these say there is 8 people, just a small example. These 8 people recites 8 different verses about 8 different topics. 8 people sit there and they recite verses in Sanskrit. 8 different verses about 8 different topics. This one person who is sitting there, he will listen to it, all the 8, and he will remember all the 8 verses. It's not only memory power that you have to remember this. He has to remember the verses, all the explanation to that verse. And based on the verses, he has to explain each verse 8 different ways from that, from each verse. And he does not know the verses before he comes and sits in front of the same people. It's a very, very, very difficult. When they do that, I'm absolutely stunned by their Megha Shakti. That is that Shraddha that is built up inside. Not through intelligence. It is that Shraddha Shakti or Megha Shakti what has been built up inside. What has been built up inside. In big, big discussion among the scholars, this still happens. And there are people who are still capable of doing that. Some of them are even capable of doing the 100 people together. Shadadhamini, they call it. 100 people sitting there. For us, if one person sits in front of us, says one verse to us, we will think, what did he say? Here there is 100 people sitting in front of them and saying 100 verses, which he has not heard before. He has to remember all the 100 verses and he has to give explanation to each verse in hundreds of ways. He has to explain that. This was all very prominent among the highly developed personalities in spiritually. Because there it is on material intelligence. Intelligence won't help there. What you require there is this Shraddha Shakti. Power of that Shraddha inside. To such a deeper level to absorb things and able to make it as your own. So, attention. We call it as attention in English, isn't it? So, if you turn this attention towards you inside yourself, isn't it? And you are inquiring there. That is what Shraddha Shakti means. Once you have developed that Shraddha Shakti, then you are turning that Shraddha, power of Shraddha, inwards, not outwards, inwards. Because there is no spiritual life outside, it's all inside. So if you turn inside, Krishna says that in that inquiry has started, that Krishna calls it as Jnanam or knowledge. Jnanam or knowledge. And that is the nature of that knowledge is like this. He is seeing that, when he is seeing at that time, when he has turned his attention inside, and he is looking inside, and what does he see? He is seeing this. Balyam kaumaram yavanam vardhakyam. That means childhood, boyhood, youthhood, old age. They are all coming and going in me. They are all coming and going in me. When they are coming and going, at the same time, jagrat sapnam sushupti, they are coming and going in me. They are all coming and going in me. And jagrat sapnam, this balyam kaumaram, that means childhood, boyhood, youthhood and old age, that's happening in the body. Waking state, dream state, deep sleep, that's happening inside the mind. That's where it's happening, isn't it? That's where it's happening. When all these changes are going on inside the body, I'm staying away from all that, and in me, there is no change happening. There is no change happening in me. So, and what is that change? If you look back in words, you will start experiencing that. So, that is why that thing is only by self-inquiry it will happen. This is talking from the knowledge part of it. In bhakti, this is not important. Bhakti is surrender. Secret of bhakti is nothing but surrender to Krishna. But that is also difficult. You know, if you ask me which is better, both are good, but nothing is easy. That's all I can say about that. This is not easy, the other one is also not easy. Only thing is, generally you can say, we will say like this, bhakti is easier compared to jnanam. Jnanam is difficult because jnanam requires that shuddhi, chitta shuddhi inside. But bhakti, anybody can become a devotee, isn't it? But then there are devotees and devotees, isn't it? Who is a devotee? How do we... But in the general concept, you can say if you shaved up, he's got a shiga, and he's got a dhoti and a tilak, he's a devotee. You can say. And there is that devotee. And there is also Milamangalam and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are also devotee. So who is the devotee? So general category, you can put it, everybody as a devotee. But then there are in devotees also, there are devotees. Is it not? So there is a gulf of a difference there. So what Krishna is saying here is also the same thing, that when Krishna is saying all these things, we don't have to say, oh, I agree with that.
No.
Or you don't have to disagree with it. Either, it doesn't matter. So, most of us have come through all these stages now. By childhood, boyhood, youthhood, all that is finished now. And we have come to that final stage practically, isn't it? So, those changes are gone now. They won't come back again in this body. Which one? Childhood, boyhood, youthhood. They are not going to come back. They are gone. They are so gone. But, that awareness in me, what I was, I had that always as a boy, or a young man, or a middle-aged person. And now, that doesn't change at all. I am still feeling that I exist. And my awareness is very much present there, 100%. So, but due to why it has then, what has happened is, due to my ashraddha. Ashraddha means, I did not give any attention to it so far. I was giving attention to the body and the mind. That's where all my attention was. Therefore, I'm confused now, well, who am I? But had I given attention to that me, who is inside that awareness, from the very beginning, instead of giving attention to the body and the mind, I will not feel that problem what I'm feeling today. I gave attention to my body and I identified with the body. Giving attention means identifying with it. So when I gave attention to the body and identified with it, today I am confused. Why? Because body is going away. My mind is changing. The old age is coming. Changes are happening and I don't know who I am. Had I given importance to that, Shraddha was on that awareness from beginning. Instead of giving importance to the body and the mind, I won't be confused today. I know that body is not me. I am that awareness. And awareness never changes. That is why Krishna is saying, give importance to the awareness, not to the body. And therefore, we are in crisis now, at this stage in life. Krishna is saying this, Vedam is saying this, Upanishad is saying this, that the greatest treasure, what you have got, all of us have got today, is that awareness inside us. And we are a small particle of that living force within us, and which is present in us all the time. Aham, aham, that awareness, aham asmi. And we didn't give any importance to it in our knowledge acquiring business. We went to school, we went to college, and we did so many other things, but never gave any importance to that awareness. When the apple fell from the tree, we gave attention to that. When somebody told us that the earth planet is circular, it's like a globe, we said, oh, I got a lot of knowledge now. I gave attention to that, but I didn't give attention to this. So, and then you will say all these things, and then after some time you will say, oh, that was all a mistake, something else. So, all the knowledge in the science is like that. One person asked, he said like this, is this earth flat or a round thing? So, this sannyasi told him, it looks that people are saying that it is round, he said. I have not seen it because I have not studied anything, I don't know how to find it out. All I know when I see it's all flat, but they are telling me it is round. That was his answer. He said, when I look at it, it's all flat. It looks flat. But everybody is telling me it isn't round. I have not experimented myself, he said. So, so he said, you go out and have a look, it looks all flat, is it not? He said, the sannyasi told him. But they are telling me, so that person asked him, that, that he said, that the fan is rotating. Isn't it? The fan is rotating. And therefore, because it's rotating, it must be a circle, that thing called fan. But when it stops, when I look at the fan, all it has got is three wings, or what do they call the three blades in the fan, is standing there. So similarly, if this earth is also rotating like this, if it stops, then we can have a look at it and decide what, how does it look. It's not stopping, is it? When the fan is rotating, its shape is changing. When I look at it, so because you're all looking through the eyes and seeing it. So if you look at the earth and you are saying, sorry, look at the fan. Fan when it stops, it's three blades in three directions. And when it starts rotating, I feel that there is something in the round going on around. Similarly, the earth is rotating, and when it is rotating, they are telling us that it is, so when, let's stop this earth first and have a look at it. What does it look like then? You can have a proper knowledge. So, what I'm saying is that all this so-called knowledge is all based on certain conditions attached to it. When do you say what is earth is flat or earth is rotating? Will it stop? And will it be a globe like that when it stops? Can anybody answer that question? Science has no answer to all these questions. Today you are saying earth is round or earth is in this globe shape. It is rotating also. So in that condition it may be like that. Another condition, how will it be? Who knows? So Vedantam's point is that your so-called knowledge through research and experiments and all that is completely subjected to change every moment, in every condition, isn't it? So so he said to him that, so this sannyasi said, when I look at the fan, this is like this. So you go and ask that person who told you that the earth is round, go and ask him, but how do you understand that? What it is indicating is, this logic and reasoning, its power is very limited. You see, this is logic, isn't it? Because its power is very limited. So somebody gives you one logic, you can defeat that with another logic. Everything is like that in this world. So, but unfortunately, what has happened is, something what we know today in our experience that we did not give any attention, rather we gave importance to all these kind of things. This kind of things. Like you can see that this endless search going on from the scientists to find out about the creation is not so complicated. The whole thing is that it's not getting anywhere. There is no definite answer to any questions. They mentioned so many things about creation process. And they reached a stage now that they are trying to theorize everything, what they have found so far. And suddenly they come up with another one. They have found one planet now, which is purely made of diamond. I don't know whether you noticed, that was in the news a few days ago. And it is as big as this earthly planet, they are saying. And they have seen this how many light years away from here, and it is purely made of diamond. There. What to do now? Eh? Maya won't let you go again. She will make sure that you will waste your whole life in this way. Maya won't let you out from this. She is so smart that she knows how to play your emotions and your intelligence, how to abuse, how to use it and to train you in all directions. So as soon as this information came out, they got the photograph also. It is diamond apparently. But it is so far away. So far means how many millions of light years, something they have mentioned that. And it is moving around, pure diamond. All the diamond businessmen, their eyes are on. Can we get that here? If we can get that, how easy it would be. Life. So this is science. This is what science is on offer. Rishis won't accept this because they have already put the conditions. They won't play around with the truth. Truth is concerned, it cannot change. If it is changing, then it is not. Because without giving attention to this awareness, what happened to us was, we gave attention to our mind. We give attention to our mind. We get attention to our personality. We give attention to our emotions. We are giving attention to all the other things. But we don't give attention to the awareness inside. So many other things we are giving attention. I'm saying, oh, my hair has gone grey. Or my legs are giving me pain. Hips are giving me problems. I have got problems with my heart. And I have anxiety in my mind. I got depression in me. All these things I'm talking whole day about my various problems. I will never talk about that awareness inside. Except that everything else I am discussing all the time. So, if I am seeing all these things, depression in me, or anxiety in me, or my changes in the body, and all the problems in the heart, all other things what's going on in this, if all these things, if I am noticing it, that person who is noticing must be different from all these things, should it not? The person who is noticing all these changes that is happening in the body, he must be different from the person. So, this person who is noticing the depression, he is the same person who is noticing the ecstasy also. When I feel ecstatic mood, when you get, when you notice that, oh, I sometimes devotees say that, I felt ecstatic. They say after the kirtan, or a nice prasada, I felt ecstatic. And it's the same devotee who is feeling depression later. So, who is that feeling the devotee, who is that person who is experiencing the depression and who is experiencing the ecstasy as well? So, it is the same person who experienced the depression, who is experiencing ecstasy now. Who experienced the happiness, who is experiencing distress now. Person has not changed. So, this both these things is like a cereal is coming in front of us. Is it not? And it comes there and it stands in front of us. But the person who is seeing, observing, he is different. He is different. So, in other words, the person who is seeing, he is free from all these things. And whenever happiness or distress comes at that time, you have to ask this question, what is his identity then? Who is seeing that? And all these things, emotions, let it come and let it go, but able to witness it and look at it that way. And that is what Krishna is talking about, to become a witness. Is it not? Mm-hmm. Remember the Bhagavatam also, that witness position, that is Krishna. That is Krishna's nature. Therefore, he says here, to become that nature, to develop within himself, even when the thought waves are coming, able to stay quiet about that. And whenever traveling even, when you are in the bus or train, whatever it is, when you are traveling, thought waves are coming. But even at that time, able to free yourself from the thought waves and able to stay quiet. And that means you are not allowing the thoughts to overpower. And you are not holding them back. Our nature is, when the thought waves comes, we dive into it. And we build up on that thought wave, get deeper and deeper and deeper into it. And you become friendship with the thoughts. And constantly, it becomes within us a activity going on. That is called the chitta-vritti. Here, what Krishna is saying to us is, when the thought waves come, free yourself from that, able to stay separate. And not using any of the thought waves to entertain yourself. You don't entertain them. When the thought waves are coming. And at that point is where you will experience this presence of Him, that awareness more than anything else. That's the only way to do it. This is from the Jnanamargam. In Jnanamargam, the process is to stop the thought waves, completely stop it. Not to read the books, not to listen to the CDs or cassettes or anything like that. It's because they all generate thought waves inside. That's why in that process, these CDs and cassettes and all won't help. You got to be yourself as you are. Not allowing thought waves to enter inside and shunning away everything and able to remain in your state of awareness, who you are, consciousness in other words. So that state, you have to experience yourself, practice it and see it yourself. And this is what is, when a person has reached perfection in that stage, he is called a Rishi. Rishitvam of the Rishi is this. Remember what Vedavyas did? When Vedavyas had a problem, what did he do? In the Bhagavatam, you can remember this? Mm-hmm. When he wrote Puranas, he divided Vedam into four, mm-hmm. wrote all the Puranas, Mahabharata, and after that he was not happy. What did he do? He sat down. And then he did not allow anything to enter inside. Only Antaryami he was asking, why did this situation happen to me? He did not analyze it through intelligence. He didn't do that. He was asked, because he had developed this Antaryami principle very well inside, he asked the Antaryami, why am I unhappy? Why am I unhappy? He's asking Antaryami. It was at that time, Srinivasa Maharshi's Veena started playing and Narada Maharshi arrived on the scene. So this is called that Rishitvam, Andarmukhatvam. Able to go inward and not intellectually analyze. Like what we do is, when a problem comes, what do? We jump into it. All the thoughts, we get so absorbed in the thoughts regarding the problem and gets absorbed in that, And sometimes you don't get sleep at night because of that, because of the gravity of the problem. Or we keep it in our head that I have to deal with it in this particular way. And then till that problem is resolved, it stays in your head. This is what we do. Whereas if you inquire after awareness in that way, it won't work. Inquiry of awareness is in a different way. To inquire about awareness, you have to completely shun all the thought waves and be situated within yourself. And when thought waves are coming, you are asking the question, who is having these thoughts coming from? Where is it coming from? Who has it? Who has it? If you ask that question, little by little you will know you are getting freed from the influence of the thoughts. Mind has to ultimately surrender. Mind has no choice. And that is what Jnana Yoga is all about. Jnana Yoga is nothing but this allowing the mind to become independent of thought waves. Mind is nothing but thought waves. But the thought waves process, thought waves influence stops continuously and you become completely settled inside. It is at that time Andaryami will talk. Andaryami will talk. So rishis are those people who have developed this quality to a very high degree. All the rishis are like that. That is why we say rishis' realizations, whatever they are speaking, that is the truth. What we are speaking is all what we call it as pradivasikam or relative truth. What they talk is absolute truth. Because when it comes from them, it comes from the Andaryami directly. Exactly like in the case of Vedavyasa Maharshi's experience, isn't it? Vedavyasa mentions this in the Bhagavadam. But remember, you have to remember this at that time. Vedavyasa Maharshi has Andarmukhatvam. We don't have Andarmukhatvam. Andarmukhatvam is nice. Andarmukhatvam means inward-looking nature. We have this, what the science and the education does is, it makes us more go outwardly. The more you go outward, it becomes more difficult to come inwardly. It becomes more difficult. And this you will observe in people, in certain people, who had been trained early in their life in that way. Very thoughtful and very inward-looking. They are not carried away by the world so much. They will always be very, how do they call it, introspective, introspection, isn't it? So that is what Krishna is saying here also. So there is a lot to talk about this verse. We will continue that tomorrow. Although it is Srila Prabhupada.
Dinadhyatma Prabhu ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.